Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're on the air.
Hey, hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though. Echo. 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 Wow, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Earth feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation.
I initially thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant time.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most hotties in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Concerned about my language?
Certainly.
Okay. She's from Sioux City. Of course she is. Hello.
Yes, I'm the old bag from Sioux City. Yes,
hi. Welcome to the program.
That actually could be a song like the little old lady from Pasadena.
Go, Granny, go, Granny, go, Granny, go.
Yes, ma'am.
Like I was telling the gentleman that answered the phone.
Yes.
I usually don't have the station on. I came home from work and my son had it on.
Yes.
And I walked through the room and I thought she had said, Jesus.
I probably did.
Anyhow, I sat down to work on some of my paperwork. And you had a gentleman, I don't know for sure what the topic was, but he could not remember if he had listened to it last night or this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty soon I kept hearing it and listening, and I thought, my gosh, is he ever going to let this listener, you know, have a...
Jesus Christ, would you get to the point?
You know? And I listened, I thought, my gosh, there's no point in anybody calling these people. They don't shut up long enough to listen.
Would you agree that we've actually... Now, wait a minute. You're not listening either right now. Would you agree that we just gave you that entire little piece of time to explain your situation?
Well, no, I haven't got to the part that... Cause the other
oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, the point is that this is not like a normal radio show. If we just let anybody call and babble on as long as they like, no one would listen. That's like bad talk radio.
So why do you use the blasphemy?
What blasphemy?
Then you followed it up and said, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Listen, honey, I go to church every week, okay? I have nothing to be concerned about.
It must be a cult that you go to.
No, I am a member. Hey, hold on. Hey, you old bat. I am a member of the Episcopalian Church.
There's
something wrong with that?
On the church.
Can I tell you something? I talked to Jesus Christ, and he said he hates you.
Well, that must be your church, because, see, most people would consider that kind of talk. That's not the way to talk.
Have you never in conversation, I bet you haven't because you're so old, but maybe somebody of my modern generation perhaps has had a conversation and said, Jesus, what is going on?
How old do you think I am?
About 100.
Well, you're off a couple of years. Would you like a second guess?
90.
I'm going to say, all right, always being the nice guy, I'm going to say 80. I'm going to say 83.
You haven't been being a nice guy yet.
83?
Would you believe 45? No.
I believe 45 and hung up.
You call me a liar.
45 and hung up, baby.
Apparently the Episcopalian isn't much of a church.
What did you just
church?
Go to hell. Go to hell.
Say that.
Go to hell.
Right way?
Go to hell. If you don't like the channel, change the channel.
But I don't understand why you people think you can get on the radio waves and
listen.
So rude to the listeners. I was shocked.
Listen, can I tell you something? The people that listen to our program, and I mean this very seriously, and get on.
I was sick.
Listen, would you shut up and let me say something?
You usually do, it sounds like.
Shut up, you hag. I hung up on her. Listen, for anybody like that old lady that's never heard the program before, we do something that's fast, that's give and take with
sure.
the people. The people that call the show know that they run the risk at any time of being disconnected, of being insulted. The difference is that the people that call know that it's in fun, that it's in jest, that we're just trying to move the program along.
And as you said, they know that there's the chance of getting dissed, of getting yelled at, or of getting loved. And quite often, that's what happens, too. They call this show, and after they finish their conversations with us, they feel loved.
You know what? I know all kinds of radio shows where the call... You want to know... You ever heard this guy, Bruce Williams? You want to know why Bruce Williams is on at night? Because he's got no ratings. You know why he's got no ratings? Because he lets people call up and talk about freaking paneling for 15 minutes. Bruce, I was changing the oil in my car, and I noticed that the dipstick did not go all the way in. Guys like that get half an hour on his show.
Well, where are you calling from, sweetheart? Okay, Dolly. Okay,
listen,
kid.
It's a new brand of talk radio we're doing here, and Miss 45-year-old, who might as well between her legs be 100, don't listen anymore. That's my advice to you.
I think you need to get a good attorney there, sweetheart. Where you come from, baby cakes?
See, the thing is, when we take phone calls, before I ever knew Mike, back when I played records, I used to do something on my program called the boogie check, where people would call, and the goal of this was to call and just get on the air. And I would take as many calls as I could, hanging up on people, making fun of people doing the same back at me, back and forth. Now, we're not under a format with the tight range where we got to play records. We can take calls, but we use the same rapid-fire format.
Yes, it's live radio. It moves at a very fast pace, and we don't like to waste time with things that aren't interesting, and it is our discretion to move past callers we don't find interesting, and that's just the way it is.
Now here we go. What is this going to be? Complaint day? Hello, Mobile. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Oh, it's another bag.
No, I ain't no woman.
You ain't no woman.
No. Hey, listen, I was just calling up to tell y'all, I thought that was pretty rude what y'all done to that woman. She's a nice lady.
Oh, jeez. You're listening to the wrong show. Listen,
no,
you need to...
I've been listening to y'all for a while. I mean, I think it's funny and all, but hell, she's a nice woman.
She's a nice woman. She's wrong.
Do you think that the members of the Episcopalian Church collectively think that she's a nice woman?
Oh, no, I ain't talking about all that. I'm just...
What do you mean you're not talking about? That's what she said. She said that's not a church.
Oh, I realize that wasn't her whole...
So you think that was...
Wait a minute.
Wait. Do you think that was nice?
Everybody.
Do you think that was nice of what that you said? She's a nice lady. Do you think that was nice?
I don't think that was exactly nice.
Well, then I don't think she's a nice lady, so we disagree.
She called with a preconceived notion about the program that she thought that I hung up on people. And my answer to that is, if you don't like it, you have the power... Don't waste my time, for God's sake. If you don't like it, change the channel.
Exactly, and I listen to y'all and I like y'all, but I just thought that she was just saying she didn't like the fact y'all was cussing. You know, her saying Jesus Christ was cussing.
Cussing? God, I just think that... Listen, I got a tape I want everybody to listen to. Here you go.
I am the truth.
Here we go.
We take Jesus... and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
That's right. Amen.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
That is Oral Roberts.
Hello.
He's down.
Of course, you hung up.
He went back with all the other basses. Ernest?
To go through more rocks through windows until Andy and Barney have to come get him.
And then when he comes to get me, inevitably, we're sitting on the porch playing music with our family.
Why is everybody so uptight about this? For God's sakes, go vote for Bob Dole and see if you can get your own world.
You know why everybody's uptight about it? I have the theory. It's the time of the year. It's that time of year. It's the February doldrums. And that's why people are calling with these complaints right now. In spring, when buds are bursting, when bees are mating, when pollinations are happening all over the place, people aren't going to care what you say. It's not going to matter at all. It's the February doldrums. And I don't care if you live in a warm climate or a cold climate. That's exactly what it is.
I finally found that Kevin Wynn tape.
Oh, good.
With the Vietnamese Mariah Carey. Here it is now.
Hello.
Hello. Khánh, đây là Khánh nhận được cuốn sách của Elena ở Don May, Don Vitamin New Year đó Khánh.
Ok, this gentleman was the one who won your tape on Dynamite, Vietnamese New Year show. You want to say hello to Dynamite?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Okay.
And I hope you enjoy the tape.
Okay. Yeah, I guess he just want to call and thank you for the tape, and he really enjoy your show.
Kevin Wynn, another guy that really moves the show along.
So listen, for the last time about this subject with the discussion, especially the use of the Lord's name, okay? I'm not going to get on here and tell you that, I go to church every week and I pray to Jesus and I love you. You know what? That's the truth. I shouldn't have to tell you that. That's the truth. I feel comfortable with it. If you don't feel comfortable with the language that I use on the show or the way that I answer the telephones or the way that I cut my hair, go screw yourself and turn the station. We're just doing a radio show. We're just goofing around.
It's only a radio program.
For goodness sake.
And it's a radio program that we think is going to conquer the world.
You know, I've been using Jesus' name on this program for a long time. I haven't been hit by lightning yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Sioux City, Iowa. She wasn't from Sioux City, Iowa, that lady that it's called.
Yes, she was. She was the head of Chamber of Commerce for Sioux City.
No, that was Pat Buchanan's wife. They're just here for the campaign.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Listen, everybody has different standards and different morals, and if you don't like my morals or my standards or his morals or his standards...
Sure.
Go screw yourselves. We're just doing a radio show here.
It's only a radio show. That's the important thing to remember. And, you know, seriously, if people call and they say, hey, sometimes it gets a little rough. Of course it gets a little rough. That's what the volume control's for. And if you get fed up, that's what the channel changer's for. That's why they're on there. You do have the power. That's the way it works.
But don't call us and try to change the show. That's not going to happen. Hello? You know, maybe, who knows, maybe Lady in Sioux City, maybe you're right and I'm wrong. Maybe a year from now I'll be living in a box somewhere. Then you'll have a nice big laugh at my expense. But I don't think so. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi, my name is Charlie. I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling from Salisbury, Maryland. And
yes.
I'm originally from the D.C. area. I've listened to you for the last 10 years, before Mike, even when you were on WAVA.
Of course.
And I'd just like to say that I think you guys are the greatest DJs in the world.
Yes, we are.
And I appreciate the way you express your opinions.
You know the thing? Here's what people can't get about this program. You know, oh, hold on, she's back. Oh, the old bag is back. The reason this program is a success is because Mike and I do a real show, and we talk like real people back and forth. Hello, yes. Hello, woman who is so repulsed to the show, but she's riveted to it. She has to keep calling and keep listening.
Well, I'm not really listening.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But so, I'm trying to figure out, what was the comment about between my legs?
I said you're a 45-year-old woman, but I'm sure between your legs you're about 100.
Uh-huh. So can I ask you, when you say this is just a radio station...
Yes.
If you feel that it's just a radio station, why do you feel that talking and doing these things are helping our society?
I'm not here to help our society, lady. I'm here to do an entertaining radio program and get ratings. If you want that other stuff, listen.
Don't you feel that this is entertaining? I mean, I realize.
Listen, can I tell?
A lot of people will probably listen.
Can I tell you something? That our program is number one rated.
And I don't mean this as an insult.
Oh, we wouldn't want to be insulted, just like all the Episcopalians aren't insulted when you didn't, you know, when you said it's not a church.
I tell you what. Can you tell me your pastor or priest or father? I don't know for sure.
I am not going to repeat his name on the program, but if you were a regular listener, you would... Hold on. Shut up a second. You would know, not only have I gone to church every week, I converted from being a Catholic... You're not listening. I converted from Catholic, from being a Catholic to being an Episcopal, an Episcopalian. My preacher, my reverend... has called the program. My preacher and reverend has met everybody on this program. He has no problem. He does not judge me by what I do on an entertainment radio program.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Oh, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to figure out why you talking to all these other people and people listening to you.
You know, you have this little sweet demeanor about you, and you know, you're not fooling anybody.
Why do you keep calling me names? Do you really think that's cool?
No, I'm trying to speak the truth. You're pissing me off.
So you're speaking the truth by calling me names.
You are a hag.
I am a hag.
At least in your attitude, at least in your mental attitude, you are a hag.
Hours a day with the public, and I have a very good job, and nobody yet has called me a hag.
Well, you haven't pissed anybody? Have you called anybody and acted like you did when you called our show? Listen, honey, if you don't like it, change the station. Change the station.
So I was asking the reason why you were using such bad language.
Because I love to. Because I love to use bad language. Because I personally love to.
You would love
I love to cuss. I wish I could cuss all the words on the radio, but I can't.
Well?
And I'd call you an FB. That's what I call you, an FB.
Let me ask you, can I ask you a question, ma'am?
On the station.
Ma'am, can I ask you, can I ask you a question?
And of course, FB stands for Friendly Beauty.
Oh, what?
Fun Buddy. I thought it was Fun Buddy.
My Fun Buddy.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
I don't even want to ask.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why did you say that the Episcopalian Church is not a church? Why did you say that? What faith
that
are you, may I ask?
On my part.
What's that?
That was wrong on my part.
What faith are you?
I am Missouri Synod Lutheran. So that part...
Lutheran.
But I'm just trying to figure out what church...
Lutherans suck!
Allows...
All the Lutherans know I'm kidding. This woman doesn't, though. Watch this. I'll get her going. Hey, Lutherans suck. Jesus doesn't like Lutherans. Jesus hates Lutherans.
You really think this is cool, saying this?
It's cool,
that's
man.
The word
cool.
I would use, ma'am. Listen, Jesus Christ is would not a dirty word.
Would you be willing to take my number in private and call your, I don't know for sure if it's Father's.
Yeah, listen, you. Hold on, you hag. Hold on a second. I'm going to get my pastor on the phone right now to tell you that you are going straight to hell. Hold on. Hold on, you old hag. How dare you?
Wait a minute.
Somebody call, man, I don't have his phone number.
Larry Williams? Is that who you want to talk to?
No. Hey, now listen. Listen, my wonderful Hagette. Can you hold on? Because we really are going to get my pastor.
I'm willing to hold for something that I feel is very important.
And I think my pastor will tell you, to each his own. And my pastor is an intelligent enough man to realize that this is an entertainment program.
That is what we do. We do an entertainment program and...
People find pornography... material and X-rated films.
Absolutely. Yes, people do find that entertaining. This is an entertaining enterprise. That is what we do. That is what we are paid to do. And if you don't like it, that is why the radio has a dial.
It means more to you than the Christian side, right?
Well, does everyone have to be a Christian? I think that's kind of a bigoted statement to make.
I say that. I said you get paid to do this. So what I'm asking...
Why don't you listen to a Christian radio station? I think that would be...
There's plenty of them.
That would be a fine choice.
Be on... When I came home from work.
Then fine. You should have changed the station.
Then turn it off and go elsewhere. But you're not going to change. You are not going to change this program.
You are infatuated with us. You are infatuated with this.
No.
Yes, you are.
Right.
See, if you weren't, you would have given up on this inane argument.
Right. And our society needs help, and they do not need...
You know who our society needs help from? People like you, you communist.
You
commie. You want to... You know what you would like? I bet you want that V-chip, don't you?
That
what?
10-year-old would have no manners, and I bet you would find this 10-year-old rude, and you would not accept that behavior from a child. That these
no, of course I don't accept it from my child. My child's not doing a radio show.
Do it.
You
it
know,
may only be a
can I tell you,
you guys that
you know, you,
out there listening.
You know, you complain that
serious.
Jesus. I swear to God, you are a motor mouth.
Well, I tell you what. Maybe it's time that you run into somebody like yourself.
Maybe it's time that you turn the knob on the radio.
Hey, you are going to take care of everything. You are going to be the personal crusader who's going to take care of everything.
You
know,
need a hold, man.
No. Now we've gone for. I want to get my reverend on the phone to tell this woman that she's going to burn in hell.
How old is your son?
23.
Does he like the show?
For sure, if it was him.
Does he like the show?
I don't know. I'm just saying it was on the station, and when I turned it on, it was on the station, and I didn't turn it only
because
I
thought... Listen, my reverend is not at home.
...that I usually listen to.
Listen, why don't you just bag it? Why don't you just shove it?
Well, I'm just waiting. You told me to hold on. You were having your minister call me.
And my minister is not available at the moment because I didn't know that the 666 lady would be calling the show today. I didn't have it arranged.
I didn't hear that. The sick lady, or what did you say?
666, as in the devil, as in Satan.
Yeah,
Satan.
I think you would know what that number meant, I guess.
Yes, I know what that means. Because I am Satan. I am Satan. I am Lucifer.
He is the mark of the devil on his forehead.
You can say it like this. Go ahead, Mike. I'll turn your microphone way up. Hi, this is Satan's best friend.
Can I ask you how many... you're only on for, what, maybe half hour a day, right?
Yeah, only a half hour a day. That's right, stupid.
Half hour a day.
Half hour a day.
How long are you honestly on the air?
Your son's a big fan of the show, lady.
Your son likes it.
You know that your son loves the show. You just can't stand it.
When I came home from work... this station.
Listen. Okay, for the last time, listen, will you shut up for a minute? You know what you should do if you're a responsible parent and you hear your son with something you don't like? You turn off the radio and you talk to your son. You don't call the disc jockeys.
No, I'm only calling the disc jockeys.
I'm only calling the disc jockeys.
Your son is 23?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Hold on. I'm going to call my reverend right now, you old bag. Hold on. All right. He's going to love this.
Hey, do you think you'll lose your parking space after this lady?
Well, they got that church gala this weekend. They got that same thing again this weekend.
Is this where you have to like wear the cowboy hat and overalls? The bazaar? Or is that during the summer?
No, that's the country fair that I work on every year. Another one of the many duties I do at the church. Where they don't have a problem with what I say on the radio. Because they know it's entertainment!
You're going to the 8 o'clock service, right?
Yeah, that's him. That was him on there, but he's obviously...
I met your reverend. I met your pastor. Very nice man.
Listen, I'm not going to drag him. This is stupid.
Yeah, drag him into
this. Listen, you can go to hell. You can just go to hell, lady. Drop dead. Don't listen to the program anymore, you old hag. I'll do a jig on your grave. Now get off my phone. You're never allowed to listen. You're never allowed to call again. And if you do, I'm going to get a voodoo doll and I'm going to incite Lucifer on you. Do you hear me?
Like, I'm real concerned about you being able to do that.
You better do that because I'm the devil, baby. I am the devil.
Not a society, but no, a lot of us are still decent people out here.
Ah, you hag, you don't know decent. You knew decent about 100 years ago when you were born.
So I'm still waiting for the minister. I didn't.
I just told you my minister is not available.
You really ought to work on your listening skills.
Well, I guess if you would tone down your ear, tone down your mouth and be productive.
Tone down your mouth, yeah. I'm taking notes for Mr. Millen.
You're an annoying woman. And what kind of loser is your son? What's he doing still living with you at 23? Why doesn't he get out of that house? No wonder he hasn't been able to make anything of himself living with you.
He was nearly killed in a work accident, yes. And obviously, you know...
He's never going to recover being with you.
My God, you people are sick. I know you have no children.
No, I have an 11-year-old son.
No, there's no way.
No, I have a daughter. We both have children.
We have children.
Okay, and if your 20-year-old was nearly...
All right.
So your son was in an accident. I'm very sorry. It doesn't change the fact that you're an old hag. Let him make up his own mind about what he wants to do.
Get back to this calling me an old hag.
And somebody else in the family, let him get a word in edgewise, all right? You do all the talking. Let somebody else talk. Let somebody in your family, seriously, the next family get together for just a change, let somebody else get a word in edgewise.
You know about my family get-togethers?
Oh, I know about your family get-togethers. You sit at the center of the table. No one else can say anything, and you have an opinion about everything.
That with your talking and your conversation, your family together, togethers, that anybody else gets a word in their
drink. I don't talk. I just eat. I eat like a pig. And I suck down more food and more alcohol, and that's all I do. I just sit there. I guess you're against alcohol, too, right?
Let me make another prediction. I bet you're a big fan of Kathy Lee Gifford, aren't you?
To be quite honest with you, I work 40 hours a week plus, and I know who she is, but I do not know her programs, so I don't know for sure what...
You need to wake up and smell. You know what? You should fly to Washington and spend the weekend with me. I bet I could get permission from my wife to treat you the way that you need to be treated. You know what I mean? Wine you, dine you, romance you, bring you out of this hardened shell that you're in.
In a hardened shell?
Yeah. You're like the boy in the bubble.
Like, decent conversation, and I feel that it was, I'm just trying to find out why you talk this way on public radio.
Because you got everyone mad. Don't you understand that? You got everyone mad.
No, I did happen to walk back.
No, you don't. I mean, that's not your interpretation.
I did.
We know when somebody gets us ticked off.
Defend me.
Listen, if you don't like the show, turn it off.
Evidently, there was one that was on my side.
And I've also got a theory about you, ma'am. This is certainly not the first. This is not the first radio show that you have called. You are a lady that calls radio. Hey! You are the first. You have called lots of radio shows, haven't you?
No, actually.
Yes, you have.
I bet you complain about a lot of things.
The other thing you've said that you've got all these predictions and you know everything about me and you don't know anything about me.
The only prediction that I've got for you is very soon your mouth will be full of dirt. That would be the only prediction I have for you. Very soon they will be putting you in a box.
What you consider your mouth full of.
They will be putting you in a box.
What your mouth.
Do you hear me? They will put you inside a cedar chest and they will bury you.
Well,
and you will have maggots eating your eyeballs.
Well, I guess that's what happens to all of us.
Yes, that is true.
That is very true.
So, yes.
It will happen to me, but it will happen to you a lot faster than it happens to me.
Well, that's true, because there's, you know...
Because you are an old hag who should not be listening to the show. Why don't you go find Paul Harvey? That's more up your alley.
And now she's getting air. Now she's coming up for air.
I was trying to get a word in edgewise before. What are you?
Jesus Christ, you have the biggest mouth. You know, for calling and complaining that I don't let anybody get a word in edgewise,
sure.
You sure do talk a lot, lady.
Consider your mouth full up.
You know, you have no ability to have any kind of dialogue or exchange. We let you talk.
Can I tell you something? It's no wonder to me that there's no man in that house.
Anybody can do that.
What happened? Did your husband leave you?
Children that can go out and fight and, you know.
Did your husband leave you?
What?
Did your husband leave you?
Did my husband leave me? What do you mean?
I can't imagine a man who could stand being married to you. When did he leave you?
You've got to be kidding. You really grope at absolutely anything.
When did he leave you?
You know, you really...
When did he divorce you?
Yeah, you've hit it on the head now.
I'm not divorced. I am married.
Separated?
No, I am married.
I bet he's getting some right now.
What, is he in the corner with a gag? Like with a bandana in his mouth?
Well, you know, I really know what you guys are doing here, and I am above that.
No, you're very much above it. You've proved that. And you hate the program so much, you've been on the air now for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you're above it, lady. You've been in our mud for 30 minutes on this show. You're really above it.
It takes a real man, and I realize you haven't reached that age, and people will have patience with you until, you know, you become a man with manhood.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the manhood. Attack the manhood, yeah.
Not a man. Yes, we're not a man. You're correct. We're not men. We're not mad. You're absolutely right. I can't wait till you die.
Thing we agree on anyway.
I can't wait till you die. I'm going to take a big crap on your grave.
Sickness.
It's sickness.
There's
that's right.
It's sickness that... Hey, listen. Hold on. One thing.
If you go over... How many X-rated movies do you get yourself onto?
Listen, can you hold on so we can argue with you some more? Because I hear our ratings going up right now anytime we get a nut like you.
A nut...
And you know what? You'll hold on through the commercials because you're thriving on all of this.
And, you know, you seem to be obsessed with pornography. When? How long have you been obsessed with pornography? That's the second time you've mentioned it.
I think you.
No.
You have brought up pornography five times.
I'm saying I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, you brought it up. You brought it up the first time.
How many times have you?
You brought it up the first time. And you brought it up the second time. That's the second time you have talked about pornography.
So
I think.
You don't hear a word anybody says, do you?
You did. That's the truth. We are listening to you. You love pornography.
I didn't say that I love
pornography. You talk about blasphemy. You love pornography.
How can you watch that, Phil?
Like X-rated movies.
How can you watch X-rated movies?
Like, you know, pornographic flicks.
Oh, there she goes. Pornographic flicks.
The third time, ma'am, you are obsessed with pornography. I can't believe it.
Understand.
Listen, I'm going to hang up on you, but I'm sure you're going to call back.
You're not a man. And men will do that.
Oh, now she's getting into the real sexy talk now.
I know what you want. You want us to treat you like men, but I've got news for you. I don't make love with any woman who's under 100.
There's no way that...
Over 100.
Over 100.
You know what I mean.
I bet you've got an incredible... We should introduce you to Daryl Nichols. He has quite a collection.
There's a lot of people out there that obviously I wouldn't know.
Listen, ma'am. You're never allowed to call the show again. You're never allowed to listen. I'm hanging up on you now. I know you will call back again. You will not be allowed to call. As far as I'm concerned, you can rot in hell.
You ever... Every chance I get.
Of course you will. You know why? Because you love pornography.
I work 40 hours with the public.
You love me. You love him.
I think
face it.
Male ego talking. You've got a lot of ego there.
Sure do, baby.
Someday you'll be able to work it out and get, you know, some psychiatric help.
Yeah, someday. Mm-hmm.
I've already had plenty of that.
Well, it didn't work.
And someday they'll be shutting that box on you. Go listen to yourself on the radio now.
Pretty exciting to hear yourself on the radio, isn't it?
At the front door, and I was trying to motion.
Nah, you were listening to yourself on the radio.
Front door.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, I thought 5 or 6 we would resort to that liar, liar, pants on fire. And I can't believe males are honestly saying.
Listen, do us a favor. Just die. Die right now. Just die.
Compulsive liar. That's the word I was looking for. You're a compulsive liar.
I'm hanging up on you now, but I'm sure you'll call back because you can't get enough.
God.
Now,
shower time.
It's 5 after 6.
We have been going on. Well, you know what it's like when we get a call like that.
My God, who is this? Hello.
Hello,
Don
and
Mike. Hello.
How you doing, pal?
Great.
Hey, I'm calling from California.
Pretty fantastic phone call that was, huh?
Hey, unbelievable. Enough's enough with her. Hey, I just want to say, I just been listening to you guys for a month now, and I'm working the graveyard shift this month, and there's very few people on TV or radio that can make me laugh. And you guys do it, and I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, my friend.
For those, I just want to say one thing. For all of you that listen, that enjoy living vicariously through us with those arguments, that if it removes some stress from your day, we are grateful. That's that really is the real purpose of putting those calls on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mike.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
You know what? These people don't understand. This is entertainment. You'll never find it on the radio except for here. On this station here.
Amen.
For anybody that's ever been like in an apartment building or a townhouse or whatever, and you hear this incredible argument going on next door, and you absolutely drop everything and
hear it. Yeah.
Exactly.
That really, I mean, we have to explain, that is why we do that. That's why we put that on the air.
Everybody knows that her arguments are totally wrong.
Not to say that we're not legitimately ticked off at the lady, because we are.
No, but
we leave that on the air because, you know.
Good radio.
We know
that
she's going to.
It could have been a setup, too.
It could have been a setup, but it wasn't. Trust me on that one.
She was real. And I guarantee she'll call back. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're going to stop moralizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What are you, crazy?
The Don and Mike Show. Bow to their capricious whims. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Ah, here's the Nigerian nightmare. Hi, Timmy.
Tanya O'Bibene.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Don.
Time for Dining for Convent Nights with Robin.
Timmy.
As his alter ego of the
Tanya.
Messing with the minds of phone sex guys. Lots of fun with Don and Mike and all round eyes.
Okay. Now, which line do we want to call?
Boy, look at the choices we have.
Red butts, crisp cheeks.
Would red butts be a spanking line?
Yes. Poppin' ladies, milky mounds, diaper-fed friends.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a good one.
Afro buns, fabulous fannies.
You seem to have reached a theme on this particular page.
These are...
Seems to be one particular area that's... interest.
Big butts, big-assed lesbians, and plain naughty girls.
Where are the TVs?
Get the cheeks chastised. Transvestites? Hold on a second.
And now, you know, isn't it great that we speak the lingo now? You know, months ago I would have said, where are the TVs? And you would have said, what?
TV?
TV? I'm not watching TV. I'm doing the radio show.
Hold on.
Lesbians.
Young and natural.
You want the lesbians? Is that what you're looking for, Timmy?
Anything.
Anything goes.
Poppin' ladies. Now, this could be it. Extra pounds of round mound.
Big women.
Ready to burst, they thrust their bellies straight out for your pleasure.
Oh, my. What do you think of that, Timmy?
Milky mounds. Milky mounds. It's a lactating lover's large party. Diapered friends for adult babies. A unique line that's all too rare. Afro buns. A classic of dark meat. Put together in one cracking, cool collection. Fabulous fannies. Tight buns. Top tall legs. Giggles. Girls wiggle and struggle.
Oh, my.
Lusty ladies claw, bite, scratch, and maul. Those are some of the phone lines.
Wow, shocking.
Here's one that says, dominant, a dominant bitch. You've seen me in video, now talk to me one-on-one. I'm horny, let's talk. I guess any one of these would do. Is there anyone that you like there, Tanya?
What about Afro buns?
Afro buns for Tanya.
Okay, you got it. Here we go.
And what are you wearing? You know, I always ask the transvestites to come in here to...
I'm wearing high heels.
High heels, yes.
Beautiful, big, busted women with long, shapely legs will fulfill all of your erotic fetishes, foot worship, discipline, and more. This service is brought to you by the Pleasure Club. Ooh. If you're under 18 or do not wish to be billed, just $2.50 to $4.99 per minute, please. Hang
on. Now, first thing you got to do is let me tell them that they're on the air. Okay. And after that, it's all you, Tanya.
Sizzling phone pleasure.
This could be the best ever. Absolutely.
To talk to a hot phone babe live and one-on-one, or to choose from our exotic one-on-one pleasure menu featuring sexy, horny young girls, dominant mistresses, luscious lesbians and bisexuals, or sizzling she-males. For only
she-males.
One now. To connect directly with a hot girl, press 1. To choose from our hot girl fantasy menu...
Cut right to the chase. All right, we're waiting for that special someone for Tommy. It's high heels, Sonia.
Sexy.
Yeah, high heels.
If you want the hottest phone service available, you gotta tell me your first name and the state you're calling from at the tone.
Tanya.
Hello?
Tanya. This is Tanya.
This is Tanya.
From Virginia.
From Virginia.
Thank you, sexy. Thank you, sexy. You'll be billed just $3.99 per minute for that selection.
Pricey.
Please hold on while we connect you.
This is Tanya from Virginia.
At any time, you can press the star key on your touchtone phone to be connected to a different playmate. Billing begins 3 seconds after the tone.
Here you go, Tanya. A little music to get you in the mood. Slip on those high heels.
My strapless bra.
Strapless bra.
My lazy tongue.
Oh, Timmy. God, they sure keep you waiting.
Red Mellow Music.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Tanya. Who are you?
What's your name, Tanya?
Tanya, yeah.
Hi, Tanya. Mine's Tony.
Tony?
Yeah.
T-O-N-I?
Yeah.
Hi, Tony.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Virginia.
Really?
Really?
Not that far from me.
Really? Where are you?
I'm in New York.
Oh, only 4 hours away. Wow.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What do you look like?
Well, I'm 5'7".
Uh-huh.
Got long, curly brown hair, brown eyes.
Timmy has already gone into his regular barfly mode here.
Yeah, Timmy, you're a transvestite.
I
remember you're
using pretty well, too.
You're dressed as a woman,
Timmy. I sell pretty well.
Until you're wearing
heels. Yeah, you sound very nice.
Yeah, I look good, too. I got long legs. I got, you know, I'm wearing high heels right now. I'm a TV.
Oh, goodness.
I'm a TV from Africa, you know. Yeah, I'm from Ghana.
You must look so sexy.
Lying about the country.
I sound sexy?
You sound very sexy.
Oh, you sound sexy too.
Thank you.
You know, I came from Ghana last year, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell her you had to leave there to become a transvestite. Right.
Yeah, I had to leave there because, you know, I wanted to become a transvestite. I came here, saw that movie, Two Wong Fu, and bam, that did it.
Really?
Really.
Did he just move to you like that?
Love that movie, yeah. Yeah, I moved here. I love America.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Viva America.
Yeah. You know? And, I mean, some girls thought I looked good as a man, but, you know, I just wanted to be a woman. I think I'm a woman, you know, just trapped in a man's body, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't do that in Ghana, so I moved to America.
That's you know? True.
Yeah. Yeah.
So does your family know?
My family? No, they don't know.
How long have you felt that way?
What?
How long have you felt that way?
All my life. But just being in Africa, you can't do, you know, stuff like that, you know?
So, well, listen, did you just move to America as a woman?
No. I moved here as a man. But, you know, now I'm a woman. And I like to be
straight. Do you go to work as a woman?
And I like to be straight.
What?
Do you work as a woman?
Do I work as a woman?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just, you know, I dress like a woman. I act
like
a woman. It's just my voice. But also, I like to be spanked, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I like to be spanked. Do you? Do you like to be spanked?
Oh, yes, I do.
Tell her to call
really?
You a bad girl.
Oh, goodness. What do you have on?
Yeah, well, I have on lacy thongs. You know, I'm real bad. I want you to call me a bad girl.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have on a strapless bra. You know, nice pantyhose.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Oh, you're a bad girl.
Yeah, yeah, spank me, spank me.
Bend over.
Yeah, I'm bent over. Yes. What are you wearing?
I've got this little teddy on.
That's the hetero in Timmy coming out. He can't help it.
Really?
It's a 36D.
Uh-huh.
So it looks really nice and parky in it.
Really?
It's got three snaps down at the crotch.
Oh.
It's also got a girder belt, too.
Really?
It goes down my thigh stockings.
Timmy enjoying himself.
Are you,
right?
are you lesbian? Are you bi?
I'm bi.
You bi? Oh, good. Yeah.
Ask her if she'd ever get it on with a transvestite.
Will you ever?
Pretty much by yourself, or?
Yeah, I'm by myself. Do you? Will you pretty much get it on with a transvestite?
Oh, I'd love to.
Really?
That's my fantasy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
This is great.
I'm really interested.
This is great. I love America.
Really?
I love America. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Want her to be mean, but be mean to me. Be mean to me.
Yeah, but sometimes I like it rough, you know, so I want you to be mean to me sometimes, you know, just... You know, give me a real good spanking, not a soft one you just gave me. Give me a real good spanking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
You mean like with my heels or something?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Or you on your hands and knees?
Do you have on your high heels?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I had a pair of 6.5 inch
high heels. Be mean to me.
I mean, I want you to spank me, but don't spank me, you know. I mean, really, really spank
me. And yell at me.
But, you know, yell
call
at me.
Call you a bad girl.
Call me bad girl and everything. You know, but don't go too far, because I just had some Texas-type chili, you know. I don't know. You know? Okay?
Thanks.
Who's that with you?
Oh, no, that's just the TV, the television. Yeah. Yeah, so, go ahead.
News.
I want you to call me a bad girl.
Go ahead, Tanya.
Go ahead.
On your hands and knees.
You want to hear some news?
On your hands and knees.
No. I want you to spank me now.
Get on your hands and knees.
All right.
So you're not being mean enough.
I am. So you got to shout it. Say, get on your hands and knees.
On your hands and knees. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better. Excuse me.
I'm going to let you feel my heels right across your bottom.
Okay. Wow.
Is that how you...
Oh, excuse me. I just had that chill. Excuse
so you're not being mean enough, dummy.
You're not being mean enough. Come on. Hit me real
dummy,
hard.
Dummy, call it dummy.
Come on, you dummy. Hit me real hard. You know, I want you to be mean.
Dummy.
She can't hit ahead.
What are you, a dummy?
Come on. Where are you? Are you a dummy? Hit me real hard. Hit me real hard.
You heard me. I said, what are you, a dummy?
You heard me. What are you, a dummy? Oh, no.
Listen, you moron. If you can't treat me right, I'll find another line.
Listen, you moron. If you can't hit me hard enough, I'll just find another line. Come on. Be mean to me. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I just had this bad chili.
Are you there, dummy? Are you there? Ask her if she's there.
Excuse me. Are you there?
Dummy?
You laughing.
Are you there, dummy?
Hello?
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Come on. Say something. Be mean.
Dummy.
Talk. Spank me, dummy. Come on. Oh, that's not hard enough.
See, that sucks.
That really sucks. I've had
you're the worst phone whore I've ever called.
You're the worst whore I've ever... You're the worst phone whore I've ever talked to. Come on. Hit me hard. Be mean. Be mean to me. Say something. Say something bad.
Huh?
Say something real mean. You know,
what?
That really
what do you want to hear?
It really turns me on if you're mean.
What do you want to hear? Teach me to be mean. What do you want to hear?
What are you, stupid?
What are you, nuts? What are you, stupid? I mean, tell me something, anything mean.
You're a fool. Shut up. You talk too much.
And now you're going.
You just shut your mouth. You feel the spankings.
Okay.
Shut your mouth and bend over. Go ahead.
All right. I'm
bend over. Big bottom.
Yeah,
you're nasty. You're a nasty.
Is that chili I just had?
Ask her to toss your salad.
Okay. Will you toss my salad?
Tanya.
Yeah?
You know what your problem is?
Will you toss my salad?
Tanya.
Yeah?
You deal with too many big men. That's why you can't tilt. You can't hold your chili.
Excuse me. Really?
Toss my salad.
Push the palm around.
Toss my salad. Come on.
Toss your salad?
Yeah.
Your salad?
Toss my salad.
Toss it?
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know what it means.
Hit me with the shoe again.
Want to toss it?
You don't know. You don't. Okay, go ahead. Hit me with it. You don't know what that means. Don't worry. Hit me with that.
Being too nice to her.
Come on. Excuse me. I just had a beer, too.
See, she can't even hear you now. She's just hitting the phone with her.
And you're being
shoe.
Tell me you're being way too nice to her.
Wait a minute. Listen here, you bitch. I said, hit me. Excuse me.
He takes direction, doesn't
excuse
he?
Me. Say something to me. Come on.
Tanya.
Excuse me.
Tanya.
Yeah.
What do you have over there?
Okay, you ready for our part of the play?
Huh?
Hello? Who's on this phone? Hello, son?
Hello.
Who's on the phone?
Timmy? Timmy, why are you on the phone?
Who is on the phone?
You can't on the phone right now. Why are you talking on those lines again?
I'm talking to my friend.
No, you get
who
off
is
the line.
Is this a friend or is this a hoe?
Get off the line. You
friend.
Do those man that cost the money, Timmy.
It's a
are
friend.
You wearing your mother's clothes again? You get off the line,
no.
Timmy. You're going to be MP3, but I don't mind telling you.
This is
who is the friend?
This is my uncle's.
Timmy, you get off the phone. Uncle, I'm your aunt.
I'm talking to my school friend.
I'm his friend.
You get off the line right now. This costs too much money. You're transsexual. My son is not a transsexual.
He is.
You don't forget, though. He is not. He is Timmy Albebene.
See what I go through?
You know what?
My son is all man.
Yes,
see what I got
through?
I'm a woman.
You hang up this line pretty quick or you're going to be in big trouble. You're grounded. You're grounded for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
No. You can't do that, Tim.
And you don't get
you.
We send you back to Ghana. You shut up.
Don't send
me
back to Ghana.
We're talking to our son. You don't do that.
I like America. I want to stay here.
Oh.
You cut off your phone privileges.
What's your son's name?
Well, he calls himself
Timmy.
My son's name is Timmy.
I'm Tanya.
Timmy!
Who was Timmy saying his name was Tanya?
Timmy,
yeah.
Governor.
I'm
his
Tanya.
Name is not Tanya.
His
name is Timmy.
My name is Tanya.
Are you charging money for this call?
No, it's just my friend.
I'm not talking to you, Timmy. I'm talking to her. Listen to your mother. Are you calling Timmy? Are you charging money for Timmy?
No. It's my friend.
You be quiet. You listen to your mother now.
Hey,
honey, you go ahead and ask him the question again. I got a question for you on the phone there. Are you charging money for this call? Hey, you answer my wife question right now. Are you charging money? Timmy, you shut up right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you charging money? You go upstairs money? And you take those clothes off and you put your boy clothes back on.
You're
charging money. You're charging my poor Timmy money, aren't you?
We
do not have the money to pay.
And the mother.
Who? Why you sound like a man?
I do not sound like a man.
That is an insult to my wonderful wife.
I am so mad at you.
Hey, you shut up, you.
You're transsexual?
Huh?
You're transsexual?
Transsexual? My wife is all woman.
You make me sick.
Are you charging my teammate money for this call?
My mom's
going. We are not going to pay for this call.
What's on your mom's
we are not going to pay for these calls.
She smokes a lot.
I tell you right now, we are not going to do that.
She smokes a cigarette.
Oh, now you get me all upset.
Yeah.
We are not going to pay for these calls.
Well, you know what? They don't get off the phone.
We are not going to pay, so it does not matter.
Then shut up and get off the phone.
We are not going to pay. You hang up the phone right now. That is in order.
Listen, Big Mouth, I called him.
Hey, Big Mouth, how dare you call me Big Mouth?
You have a big mouth.
I do not have a big mouth.
She has a beautiful mouth. She has a feminine mouth, unlike you.
Father.
Unlike you.
Thank you very much. I have a feminine mouth. You shut up, you.
Who has a big mouth? That's the mother?
You have a big mouth. This is
that's
your mama.
My mother. She has
the most beautiful mouth I have ever seen in my life.
My mouth is beautiful.
You shut your mouth. Now you make her cry.
You make her cry.
My dad's gonna be mad at me. My mom's crying.
You made me cry.
Now you make your mother cry.
You make your mother cry and you put on her clothes again.
That's my I'm a girl.
Listen, I am sending you back to Ghana. You're going back.
I love America.
You're going back to Africa.
Send him back to Ghana.
You're going back to Africa right now.
I love America. I love America.
Yeah. Send him back to Ghana.
He's going back to Africa right now, where we don't have phone sex.
No phone sex in Ghana.
Don't you laugh.
You shut up. You don't tell my husband to shut up.
Oh, you shut up.
You shut up, you.
You sound like a man.
You got that big butt. I bet you got a big butt.
I bet you got a big pimply butt.
Yeah, lots of pimples on your butt.
Not like my wife's butt, which is so shapely and curvaceous.
She's beautiful. Not like your butt. You on the phone. You got an ugly butt. You know that.
That's okay, because you have droopy 36 double D's.
No, I don't.
She does not. She has droopy 38 double D's.
Shut up, you.
Can I call you anytime?
Make me sick.
No, you cannot call, because this is my house. When you live in my house, you do my rules.
You didn't, Papa. You make me cry.
When you live in my house, you do things my way.
You
remember
cry.
When we live in Africa. Who was the boss when we live in Africa, huh? I was. It was not till we
my
come
dad
to...
My was the boss.
It was not till we come to America, where you can get a car, and where you can talk on the telephone.
Hey, Tony. Tony, you see what I go through?
Your mother and I, we sacrifice everything to bring you to America.
You sacrifice everything and you talk to the whore on the line.
You
talk to the whore on the line.
You're nothing but a whore.
Hey, mother, you have horse teeth?
Whore.
You're a whore. You're corrupting my son.
Charge money, you're a whore.
I'm a girl.
We do not have the money to pay this bill. We will not pay this bill.
Get off the line.
Be off the phone.
You hang up, you whore.
Hang up right now and stop calling my son.
You stop that.
I'll call you again, Tony.
I call the police.
Okay.
Call me when they're not home.
He only be calling you now from Africa, because we're sending him back to Africa.
He's going back to Africa because of you, you whore.
I'll talk to you soon, Tony.
You stinky, stanky whore.
Naughty whore.
Hello?
She's gone.
Hello?
She's gone.
Well, that was good.
Way to go, Tim.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for joining the Not Ready for Primetime Players. Good job, Timmy. Timmy, I know how difficult... I know how difficult it was for you to be mean, too. That was a stretch for you, but nice job.
Nice going, Tim.
All right.
You notice that when he first got in here, though...
Mm-hmm.
He was in his mode where he might as well have been at the 9:30 club.
Absolutely.
Hey, hello. Yes, I'm from America. Hey, would you like to have sex with me?
That's pretty much how it goes when you're Timmy.
Yeah, but, you know, like all the other performers that come in here, we molded him into our specs. And I kept saying, be meaner. Yeah.
You're right, Mother. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Increased bowel movements, an urgent need to have them, and an inability to control them, particularly after meals containing more fat than recommended.
The Don and Mike Show. National Treasures. Don and Mike.
Well, hey, Rob?
What's going on?
Hey, Rob! They are crating off that desk.
Explain, gentlemen.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Dan Ryson, stop! Don't take that desk.
Now, what desk are we talking about here?
The desk that is across from the producer's desk.
Okay.
The desk that used to be used by Jimmy the intern.
Right. Yes, that desk.
Okay. Eventually, when we hire a regular producer, that desk is going to be Rob's desk.
Okay.
Because Rob has already locked up the job of assistant producer.
Mm-hmm.
Rob is now using the producer's desk, but the other desk is going unused. We're just putting our cartridges on it. Now listen, you know, we're very territorial about our stuff around here.
Yeah, they do it while we're on the air. That's sneaky.
But no. Rob came to me today when I arrived at the station, and he says, listen, you know, small controversy, they want to take our extra desk that has the Borgnine sticker on it.
Right.
And I said, that desk is our property. We need that desk. That's your desk when you get your new job. So he says, Alan Linewand wants to take the desk.
Because they're short on desks back in the sales force.
Right, for the sales slugs. So, He goes down the hall, and I see Rob talking with Alan, the sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the hallway, and they're talking about it, and I stuck my head around it. I said, hey, Al, we want that desk. That desk is ours. Don't take that desk. And he said, hey, Donnie, baby, hey, you know, no problem. You
right.
know, you the band. Yeah, yeah, big ratings. Yeah, whatever you want. And now that we're on the air, I just saw him crate it by the window, going to take the desk back there.
Very sneaky, and as I said before, no surprise they're doing it while we're on the air.
Alan.
Yes?
I told you that was our desk.
Hey, Don, how are you?
I told you that was our desk, Alan.
Well, you know, I really didn't see anybody's name on it, and I don't want to start World War III here.
But you're going to start World War III here, because you've already kicked us out of the lunchroom. We already have to live back there.
Well, how do you figure I kicked you out of the lunchroom?
No, because you were the guy that said that, you know, we're disrupting the conference room.
No. I mean...
So let me...
I don't want to dredge up the past.
You go on the record, you have no problem with us using the lunchroom?
The lunchroom as it exists today?
No.
You know what we're talking about, the conference room.
What used to be the lunchroom.
Of course, it wasn't you guys particularly, it was the mess that was left in the lunchroom.
All right, now listen. So you've kicked us out of there and you've got us back. We need that desk.
What do you need it for?
We need that desk because Rob needs the desk. Our interns use that desk.
And when we get a full complement of staff members, we're going to need that desk, and we don't want to have to go and try to steal it back. That desk should stay where it is.
Let me ask you, is there an individual who actually will be sitting at that desk? Yes.
Between the hours of 3 and
Charles,
7...
Charles Broyhill just raised his hand, and he sits at that desk.
And between the hours of 3 and 7, Cameron, Cannon, our intern... or Scott the Dwarf are normally sitting at that desk. We use that desk.
Bring it back now!
I have a question for you guys.
It's our desk!
Okay, I understand it. I understand you've taken ownership of this desk.
Because if we don't get that desk back, we're going to have to send some people back to take your desk to replace it.
Why did I know this was going to happen? I just knew it. Okay.
Why don't you guys just go out and spend $100 and buy your new sales guy a new desk?
See, that's what I was going to suggest. Why can't we just do that since we have Since we have a need for it, like, today.
Okay, so go buy it. Go ahead. Call Staples.
We can give you a brand new desk.
No. That's our desk. That is our desk.
Hey, you're stealing it. And while we're on the air, it's just transparent. I mean, the problem is the thieves here at the station didn't realize we got a big picture window right here, and we see Dan going down the hallway.
Dan's right here.
Stealing the desk.
Dan's standing right in front of me.
Now, what happened today to that conversation that you and I had down the hallway?
Which one was that?
Where Rob was?
No, that wasn't a conversation, Don. What that was, Alan, that's our desk.
All right, you know what that was? In my mind,
that's all you said. You didn't even give me a chance to talk to you. Well, Alan, that's our desk.
That's the conversation. Right there, that's the conversation.
A conversation goes two ways. That was just a statement.
No, that's a conversation. That was a fact.
What's that? What's going back down there? Is that some cheesy little desk they're going to use to replace ours?
Yeah, it's like a workbench they're sending back.
What a bunch of crap.
But let me tell you. If there is a need for a desk, I understand that.
What do you mean? If there is a need for a desk, because we have people on this show who get ratings, and you guys sell commercials because of the ratings.
You are correct, and you guys.
So we would like our desk back. Your salespeople shouldn't be here using the desks anyway. They should be out selling commercials.
Yeah, and they can take orders sitting Indian style on the carpet.
On that point, I won't disagree with you.
So give us our desk back. Come on, let's settle this like men.
Is it really that important?
Yes! What do you think? What do you think?
But why does it have to be that desk?
Well, why don't you go take a desk from somebody
else?
Hold on. If there's 1,000 different desks, go take it from somebody else.
I was told, and it doesn't matter who told.
Now listen, I'm not going to let you do this. You either be man enough to say who told you something, or you can't bring it up.
Okay. Then I didn't know that rule. Okay? I didn't know that was a...
God, I hate that when people say... That really pisses me off. Somebody says, somebody told me something, but I can't tell you who told me.
No. There was a desk that was not being used. And understand...
That desk is used...
This is not like the Baltimore Colts being moved in the middle of the night.
That desk is used every day.
Pretty darn close to it, Alan, as Dan Ryson slinks down the hallway dragging that desk while we're on the air so we couldn't complain about it. And everybody on our staff is in here right now.
That desk is used every day by people on this show. You know, every day.
And if it's not that big a deal, then it's easy for you to get another desk and bring that one back.
Right. Let us have our desk back, and you go ahead and buy the new desk.
This is not the show that's going to be screwed with again.
Well, let me ask.
Period. End of story.
And tell me honestly, because I have been under the impression that desk has been basically a place to put CDs and papers.
No, our office is a place to put CDs and papers. If there are papers and CDs that are on that desk, good. Good. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with using a desk?
I don't really care what desk I have.
Good.
I just need a desk.
Good.
Okay?
Well, then go buy one.
Well, but why can't I need a desk.
No, give us ours back.
We want our desk back.
Well,
I'm
what are you
going
to use it for?
We have told you 20 times.
We have covered ground. We have interns. Must I tell you the stuff that goes on? Must I tell you that they read the National Enquirer, that they try to call the people from the National Enquirer, they call our affiliates, they go through the newspaper, they organize the best of tapes.
And right now they're tracking a bunch of love dolls around the country.
Fine. All right. I'll tell you what.
Is that the best?
It ain't worth it to me to argue over
this. Hold it, Alan. Is that a replacement desk? So we've got a desk that you can replace it with. And Cannon will bring it down to your office right now.
What kind of desk is it?
He's going to bring it down to you. As a matter of fact,
is that the thing the printer was sitting on?
You'll probably get the desk in just a second because Cannon's bringing it down the hallway right now.
Oh, that works. It's got a hole in it, too.
Yeah. Listen, I think you were going to say it's not worth it to you that you want to prove you're the bigger man. Go ahead. I'm telling you, I'm petty enough that I'm going to keep it going. It means a lot. After you kicked us out of the lunchroom.
No, you did.
You spearheaded that effort, Alan.
Well, listen, it wasn't a lunchroom. It was a conference room.
No. Before you came to work here, it was a lunchroom.
We're moving to another area here where we don't have our desk back yet. We want that desk back.
No, honestly, what happened was as we began selling
my dinner on that desk.
Oh, that's great.
I have already staked that desk out.
Don has marked that desk permanently.
Come on, we want the desk back.
Just like he's marked all the furniture that belongs
to
our show.
What if you can get a beautiful new desk?
Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it?
Because
Why?
You know why? You know why? Because you have no intention of getting us a beautiful new desk. You want to use that desk, then it'll be status quo, and then you'll think we'll forget about it. But no,
Mike,
we want our desk.
Not there.
You
don't know I don't have any intention of that. That's not fair.
Alan, we either get our desk back or else.
Oh, boy. You know.
Come on. Just give us our desk back. If that's the case, go take a desk from somebody else at the station. How come we always are the ones to be screwed with?
We are always the ones.
Your name on the desk.
We are always the ones.
It
was an extra desk that
That desk was involved in this show.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
How did I know that?
You did it because Don said it to you before you stole it. He said, don't touch that desk.
That's our desk. You knew it.
I didn't know it.
You did.
Wait, hold on.
Take things from people, it's theirs, okay?
Well,
I don't
then
do
tell
that.
Me.
That's not
that,
what I do.
That conversation that we had that only went one way, what did you think I was talking about then when I said to you, Alan, that's our desk?
Good question.
What did you think I was talking about?
Answer that question, Alan.
Mike, I'll answer it directly.
Right.
I knew you were talking about the desk.
All right, so then you do know the desk we're talking about.
So in that regard...
That was like an hour and a half ago.
Alan.
And you kind of said it in passing.
Alan,
I never even had a chance to talk to you.
Alan, in that regard, that desk did have a name on it. And it was Don's name because he said, that's our desk.
And Don, you did say it in what I could have taken as a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Oh.
Hey, that's our desk.
Excuse me. Excuse me for treating you, Al, like... a pal. Okay, excuse me for giving you a modicum of respect. Listen, Mr. Linewand, that is our desk. We want it back, and furthermore, we want some new furniture in this studio.
Do you want a new studio? Maybe I can help you out there too.
Yeah, you know what? We would enjoy having some modern facilities.
Yeah, it would be terrific. I think we've been doing this show since we've been here.
It'd be nice having more than three microphones.
Absolutely.
It would be nice having a computer system that works. Would be nice having a telephone system
I think you should be more comfortable. You need a better chair in your office.
A new couch. We need our own studio. Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
I have worked my ass off for 25 years to be able to have a couch in my office. How dare you imply anything about our couches?
Oh, Jesus.
We have worked our asses off to get that office and those couches and those desks.
And I'd like to point out that we got those couches on our own.
We traded them out.
This station did not do anything to get us couches.
They've moved with you.
No.
We got them when we were here.
Oh.
Yeah, along with a fish tank, which exploded and flooded the back building.
Yeah, I remember that. I was here when that
happened. Right, right. So then you remember that those...
There's some history here, guys. I've been with you for a little while.
Yeah, well, then you should know that we're kind of territorial, and
absolutely,
our stuff is our stuff. So,
listen, I would never...
Put it back, then. Put it back. Please put our desk back now.
I could put another desk there, which will serve as...
No.
It's not better.
I want the same desk. The same desk, or all bets are off.
That's right. We have
what
supported
bet?
You. I'll tell you something, Alan. We have supported you more than any show on this station. We have supported you 1,000%. You
well,
should
hope,
be aware of that.
I hope that doesn't change.
It's about to change. You have
let
no
let
idea.
You
have no idea
it.
How
no
close
what
that
you
is to changing.
I still love you, so it doesn't matter.
That has
no,
not.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I really, seriously.
Put the freaking desk back, Alan.
I still love you guys.
Put
so.
The desk back.
Cannon.
Please.
Cannon, Rob, go get the desk.
Bring it in here.
Go get the desk right now.
I want the desk in here.
Go get it.
Listen,
Alan, you know what? You know what you're going to force me to do? You are going to force me to enter on that desk.
Can I ask you a question? You're a reasonable guy.
No, I'm not, and no, he's not.
You
know we're not.
Yes, you are.
You cannot talk your way out of this.
This is a quest. This has become a quest. This issue is bigger than life now.
Let me tell you something. Why couldn't we just borrow it for a little while?
Why don't you
buy a new one? We buy a new one.
You know what? Can I tell you something, Alan, because I'm not stupid. Because I know that you could call Staples or you could call Office Suppliers or whatever.
Right.
And you could say to them, this is WJFK. We would like a desk here in 1 hour. And you know what? They'll deliver the desk in 1 hour.
Well,
that's right. How much do you want to pay for the desk, Alan?
Who's going to be
you know something, Alan? We can take care of that for you right now. How much do you want to pay for the desk?
I tell you what. I will take you up on your offer. May I have $500 to buy a new desk?
Well,
can I put it on the WJFK account?
Believe it or not, desks don't cost that much. You can get a very functional desk
for
quite a bit less.
But you're talking about an heirloom, and you can't put a price on an heirloom, and you can't put a price on a lifetime of memory.
Heirloom.
Been in the family for years.
Yeah, $500.
It's going to be a great... As soon as that desk gets into the studio, there's going to be a hell of a memory on that desk.
A couple of lollipops, I'll bring them in.
No, I don't want your lollipops anymore.
Give me the number of Staples or Office Depot. I would just call. I would just order the desk, COD, for Alan Linewald, the sales manager at WJFK.
Linewand, Don.
I know. I got his name wrong on purpose. Al. Okay, you can have that desk.
What's that?
You can have it. We're going to order the new one today, like you said. You're right. We can just get a new one. We'll order it, and we'll just charge it to you.
No.
Yeah.
Why not? So you were lying to us about that?
Let me handle that.
Listen, I tell you what.
Have I ever screwed you?
Other than now in the lunchroom, no.
Really, that wasn't... I mean, we have clients that we need to bring to the radio station.
It's essential we get that
desk. And you know what?
Alan, last chance.
When a client is coming to the radio station, and there's a Burger King wrapper sitting in their face when we're having a meeting...
Rob, get that desk. Get it right now.
It doesn't make for a good sales pitch.
Well, now, where's that desk? Did they get the desk?
They're out trying to get it now.
Is there somebody fighting them?
There's a brawl going on.
Oh, really?
Listen, here are your options.
My money's behind Cannon.
And you can take...
Blood.
Hold on, please, Alan. I'm telling you right now that you either give us the desk back or we're going to call on the air and we're going to prove how fast an Office Supply can get a brand new $500 desk over here.
What if you're going to do that, make sure you use one of our clients.
Maybe I will or maybe I won't.
We're going to use whoever responds quickest to us.
Yeah, and if they're an advertiser, so be it. And if not, well, maybe then we'll just have to endorse somebody else. And their office products.
And Alan, Alan, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. You know management technique, right? This situation totally mishandled.
All right. Are you going to put our desk back right now, or do I call and order a new one?
Well, I have a need for it immediately.
All right.
It's always us, isn't it?
F him.
Thank you for calling Office Depot Fairfax. Depot.
All right. Well, come on. How do we order something?
You don't. And you're right. This is power.
It's Alan being the sales manager.
What's going on? Fairfax, this is Nancy. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. What, Rob, do you have a bulletin?
Yes, I do. We were stopped by head honcho, Mr. Stevens, with the desk. And Mr. Stevens was not aware as to what was going on and has called Mr. Linewand into Mr. Stevens' office for a meeting.
Listen, hi, how you doing? Is this Staples?
Yes, it is.
Listen, I'd like to order a desk, please. This is WJFK, Don and Mike. We'd like to order this and see if you can deliver it as soon as possible.
Okay. What you need to do is call our 1-800 number.
Okay. What's that number?
It's 1-800-333-3330.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just happen to have a catalog in front of me.
Which one have you picked out there?
I don't know if I want the Bushwood veneer oak.
Buy Bushwood? You!
Or if I want the O'Sullivan Misty Shadows whitewash collection.
Oh, boy, the Misty Shadows whitewash.
Or maybe the O'Sullivan Oak Radius furniture.
Please press 3 now.
What?
Oh, man.
A copy of our latest catalog.
No.
Please press 4
I want to buy something.
Rotary callers, please stand the line, and your call will be answered by the next...
Press 1.
Thank you for calling Staples. My name is Kelly. How can I help you?
Hi, Kelly. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now from WJFK in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to buy a desk, and we'd like to know if Staples could deliver that to our radio station this afternoon. It's an emergency.
No way. Can't do it.
Mm.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
We'll find somebody who can. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, wow. No problem.
No, there's more voicemail.
Hold on.
Hold on. Who cares if there's more? Just in time.
All right, let's open up those phones.
Yeah, let's open up the phones so we can get us a desk, a brand new desk here.
Brand new desk. We'll pay $500. We won't.
Mm-hmm.
Station will. You have to bill WJFK. You have to bill Alan Linewand.
That's right, Alan Linewand. Hope it comes out of his personal paycheck.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I work at Staples, and I wanted to talk to Don and Mike. I'd be willing to bring a desk out there.
Well, now, Staples just told us they couldn't do it.
Oh, I know. I'm an associate there. I would pay for it and bring it out to deliver it. I'm not at work right now.
How fast could you get the desk here?
I could get it. Where are you located?
We're on Main Street in Fairfax.
I could probably get it there in an hour.
Okay. Here's what I want. Here's what I want. I want desk number 669-820.
669-820.
Why don't you describe the desk to us, Don?
Well, Mike, it's the M&M designer desk. I will not order the wall unit, however.
Mm-hmm.
The desk offers 72 inches of primary workspace,
yeah.
A curved user interface with twin box and twin file drawers.
Lovely.
As you can see, it's a marble top with a gray base.
Okay,
and,
now, I don't have that one in stock at the store.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on, wait a minute. How about this one? How about number 474... 593. How do you know you don't have that in stock at your store?
Because I know all my stock.
Perfect.
Yeah, super.
All right, hold on. I got a new one now.
Now, what, you mentioned the Misty Oak.
Yeah.
And I have that one in stock. I know that.
No, that's Misty Shadows.
Yeah.
It was O'Sullivan Oak.
I have that in stock.
Tell me a couple names of a couple of desk makers. Tell me some of the big
Bush,
names.
O'Sullivan,
mm-hmm.
Sauter.
Give me one more.
One more. S&K.
I don't see that. I don't see that. Give me one that I didn't have on the air. On the air. See, it's not S&K. It's 3K.
Well, that's what I kind of have that one also. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, we've got crap detectors going off here right now.
Listen, I got somebody who really works at a Staples.
No,
I
really
right
do. I promise.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, great. Do you work for one of these places?
I work for one of these places. Not one of those Staples places.
Who do you work for?
For Real Office Products Company.
Oh, well, what's the name of it?
BT Office Products.
Hi, where are you located?
We're in Landover, Maryland.
How long would it take you to get us a $500 desk over here?
I think I could probably... I can't do it this afternoon. I'd have to get a truck.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. That was another one.
You are on the air.
No way.
Yes.
I can say this.
Can you sell us a desk?
I could certainly try. I'll sell you mine.
Nah, get out of here.
Go on your desk. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
About your desk problem?
Yes.
If you can find one, I could probably have it delivered to you in an hour.
How could you do that?
Well, I'm vice president of a courier company. I can probably do it for
I think this is a woman we should keep on the line.
Okay, hold on. We'll
okay.
put you on hold. Hold on.
This is good. This could work.
Patch this together. Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey there. I got your desk.
You do?
Hi, yeah, the prankster.
Let me try one more before we got a break again. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, you guys are gods. You knew that, though.
Yes.
You don't need me to call and tell you. Where are you on in Rochester? I'm in Buffalo. We got this lame station.
We're on
here.
WHTK in Rochester.
WHTK?
1280. We need a desk. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, I can get you one.
No, but you're in Rochester.
So what?
We need a desk in 1 hour here.
I'm a salesman. I can do anything. Just ask my manager. Don't ask him. He'll tell you I'm not a salesman.
We need a desk in about 1 hour or your money back.
All right, a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint.
like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
There he is. Oh, no, I don't talk to you anymore. I don't talk to you anymore, Alan.
That's right.
You see that? I've got my blinder up like they put on a horse now, so I have tunnel vision.
You got to get blinds for this window here.
I'm not going to look to the right. Look at him. He's giving you that phony smile like, Mike, I'm your buddy.
I'm not looking at him either.
Charlie, don't have to worry about you. You're so freaking antisocial anyway.
Cannon had a report on Steve Goldstein also.
Hold on. Before we get to that.
Yes.
Let's get our desk.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi, is this Kelly?
It is.
Kelly, the name of your business?
Best Products.
Best Products. Oh, yeah.
Bravo. Fantastic.
Now, listen, what kind of a nice desk do you have for about 500 bucks that you guys could bring by?
Well, I've got my top of the line. I'm not going to quite hit five, except with the chair that Robbie said I could get for you.
Yes, okay. Could you describe the product?
I have a cherry-finished desk with
cherry.
A melamine top.
Yes.
Six drawers total, three file drawers. Holds letters, legal, European hanging size files, or a full extension size.
Oh, beautiful.
How much?
That would be $329.
All right, then we'll take the chair also.
Okay. Do you want, like, the big leather one?
Yes.
Okay.
How much is that?
$200.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bring it by.
Now,
okay.
Now, how fast can you guys get the stuff
here? Well, there might be a little assembly thing, but I can get the desk there.
As long as the desk is physically here.
Okay.
How fast can you get it here?
Give me 15 minutes.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks. Listen,
that's the way we like to operate.
And you understand that's going to be COD to Mr. Alan Linewand. He is the general sales manager.
Yes,
here.
He's the head honcho in sales.
Okay, and this is coming from the sales department.
Okay.
From the sales budget. So that's who you guys should bill. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, terrific.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, it's the same store where I got your beard trimmer.
A little ironic footnote.
Now, where is Cannon Grace? I understand that he has a story to tell about the desk.
Yeah, I wouldn't let Cannon tell me this story, off the air. I wanted to hear it on the air. What's going on, Cannon?
Well, when you sent us back there to get the desk, all the salespeople seemed very threatened, and especially Mr. Goldstein. And we were moving the desk, and he looked at me and he said, "Cannon, do you want to work in radio in the future?" And I didn't know if he was trying to intimidate me he was very, very threatened by this moving.
Like Steve Goldstein is going to fire you?
You're
an intern.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Wow. So he said, "Do you want to work in radio in the future?"
He might get my credits back or somehow, call the dean of admission or something.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Threatening Steve Goldstein, threatening Cannon Gray. You know, Cannon, I would like to point one thing out to you. You could, like, pound him 6 feet into the ground.
Well, he's very intimidating with the... No, never mind.
Just break him over your knee.
How tall are you, Cannon?
6'5".
How much do you weigh, son?
About 265.
That's right. Nothing to worry about.
God bless him. When I get my own football team, he's my starting left tackle.
He's a good man.
Fire! Bad!
You want to work your radio? You want to work your radio? Put that desk down. Put that desk down. Put that desk down.
Why, Steve?
Steve Goldstein, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How dare you threaten Cannon Grace and ask him if he wants to work in radio anymore?
Cannon obviously doesn't have a sense of humor.
Oh,
he came
so
back
I got
to our
it.
Sales area to steal the desk and was looking petrified.
To steal the desk?
Steal the desk? That's our desk.
That's
Steve.
The desk that was stolen from us.
I beg your pardon. Go back the desk. Happy?
No, steal back the desk.
Listen, there's a huge division in this radio station right now, and you guys are making it even bigger.
How so? You guys
are making it bigger. Because you know what generates a radio station? Not you sales slugs. It's what happens on the radio. That's what you go out and sell. We cannot be replaced. You can.
Bingo.
That's it. That's the division. We're the talent. You're the sales guys.
Are you through?
I am so sick of this. You know, the whole division. Sales is not better than programming.
Did I say that?
You just implied it.
I did not say that.
Threatening one of our
interns. Don't put words in my mouth.
Threatening one of our interns with his job.
No, your intern didn't have a sense of humor. Cannon, are you there?
No, Cannon is not here. He is crying in the other room.
He's in the men's room.
Crying in
all
the other room.
All 6'5" and 265 pounds.
And furthermore, I know that for the last 2 years that desk has been back in our work area.
Don't drag me into this. I didn't...
Oh, no, no, no. You dragged yourself into it by threatening Cannon Grace.
That's right. Didn't he threaten you, Cannon?
There was no laughter. There was no joke.
Cannon, I specifically said, Rob Bay just finally cracked a smile. You guys both came back to the area looking... just as serious as can be.
We had a job to do.
Like you were on a mission from God.
We were.
Yeah, they were. They want the desk.
Fine.
We're not kidding about it.
We're all serious about it.
There you go. Steve Goldstein.
There you go, genius.
Once again, Steve Goldstein leading with his cojones and not with his brain.
Yes, we are serious about it.
Serious about what?
About the desk.
Okay, fine.
About the desk.
And keep out of it. Go sell some time.
None of your business.
Whatever you say.
There you go.
That's the right answer.
Whatever you say.
That's
guys.
It. That's,
that's a good guy. That's a good dog.
Yeah, go close the deal.
Do you still love me?
No. No. The answer is no.
We're very upset about this.
Now I'm hurt.
Good.
Now I'm hurt. Alan's...
Listen, don't even bring Alan into this. I don't speak... Alan who? All I know is I used to know a guy named Alan, but you know what? He's dead. I only have a memory of Alan.
So was I. I was once dead, and look at me. Look how I rebounded.
You're dead again.
I'll tell you what, maybe Alan can gain your favor by dialing for transvestites.
He cannot. No salespeople are allowed in the studio anymore. No more nice stuff with the salespeople. No more help with the salespeople. You want an adversarial relationship? You got it.
Who said that?
You want a division?
You're the one suggesting this. I think it's maybe your...
No.
Actions speak louder than words, and it was the action, Steve Goldstein. It was the action of the sales department stealing our desk, and that is what started this.
Oh, so
remember
now you're dragging
that.
The whole sales department into it.
Yes.
The sales department...
Well, I would say, don't you stand behind your department head? Does Alan Linewand not speak for the sales staff?
You know, Steve, I once told Mike Messina, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I believe that those are words to live by.
Cannon Grace, ladies and gentlemen. He's a soft-spoken, gentle giant.
Cannon Grace.
Well, I like to say keep your fears to yourself, but share your courage with others.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should keep your courage to yourself, Steve Goldstein.
And I like to say it's 10 till 5. You should be out selling commercials, not sitting at your desk.
That's why my phone was busy the first time you tried to call me. I'm trying to sell commercials.
I doubt it. You're probably ordering
keeping
a pizza.
Me from doing that.
Probably ordering a pizza.
You know what's keeping you? From,
yeah, what do you want on your?
You know what's keeping you from? You know what's keeping you from selling commercials? Stopping Cannon Grace to tell him that he's not going to be in radio anymore. That's what's stopping you from selling commercials,
Mr. Big Shot.
Seriously, guys, your show is about comedy, entertainment. Cannon, a very entertaining, comical guy, was so serious back here.
Yeah, hold on a second.
I was joking.
Can you get this?
Take a joke.
Do you get this?
How often do you talk to a listener who can't take a joke?
Listen.
Tell them to take a joke.
Listen, do you understand this?
I am listening. I've been listening for 20 minutes.
God, how do you make any sales? We are not joking about this. This is not a bit.
That's fine. I was joking with Cannon.
There was no joking. You were serious about it. If you should have said, you know, I'm joking about it afterwards, because there was no joke.
Oh, come on.
Cannon is a very sensitive man.
He is.
Very sensitive man.
There was serious tension in the air.
Oh.
And it was not just you. There were other salespeople that I'm not going
to
mention.
Don't turn that up, because that's going to distract me. CJ wanted to turn the monitor up. I even said to Rob A, you...
There you go. Good.
Shut up, Goldstein.
Exercise that power. Just remember, that's the ultimate power, right?
Yeah,
there.
I know it. I got a
harness right here.
We're okay. We got our desk coming in 10 minutes.
That's right. A beautiful and a chair. We got a chair out of the deal too.
Desk and a chair. Yeah, that's the whole thought. You need something around here? Go get it from the programming department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Don and Mike. Well, gosh, all they do is come in for 4 hours a day and goof around. We can take their stuff.
Sure.
Hey. Don and Mike walk around and say hi to everybody and pal around with everybody. Why, Don and Mike are regular guys. We can just take their desk.
Right on. Oh, there goes that.
Yeah, there you go, Al.
He wasn't smiling that time.
Good. Good. I just saw a ghost walk by. I just saw Sam Wheat walk by. Demi Moore's husband in Ghost. Sam Wheat.
Sam Wheat, a ghost reference.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is the guy that called up earlier about the desk.
Which guy? I'm sorry, we've had so many calls about
it. Sorry, the guy that said Staples stinks. And then I said I couldn't get it to you until tomorrow.
Well, listen, I want to say to me, Staples doesn't stink. I don't want to alienate any of our advertisers.
No, let's not bring advertisers in here. You know, the bottom line is, sir, we have the desk. It's on the way. Your company's great. They're all great. Everybody that sells office products, great. We love them all.
Appreciate it. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, because it kind of goes back to the mother hen, Ken Stevens. I don't have a company, but I was going to give you a free desk because I'm not
going to pay a lot for this desk.
Thank you, my friend. And you know, the mother hen is in the building today. And
yes,
I think
she is.
Mother hen has been conspicuous by his absence in all of this.
We haven't seen mother hen. Why do I think that mother hen might be sitting behind his desk right now with an ear-to-ear grin, just sitting back and leaning against the wall?
Yeah, see, but mother hen should know that this...
I just think mother hen walked by, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
With his head down also.
Wasn't able to see his face.
He was not...
I can get you a free desk.
Not pleased. What?
I can get you a free desk.
No, we'd rather pay. We'd rather have the station pay for it. Because, as I recall, the sales manager said, go ahead and buy one.
That's what he said.
Okay. This problem has been solved.
That's right.
This problem has been solved.
The matter has been closed.
Okay. As soon as the desk gets here.
Yeah, and they said 15 minutes.
As soon as it gets here, we'll let you know. We'll check it out.
Some assembly required. Desk is going to be made of cardboard.
We've got to do a quick commercial break. Everybody here, hold on to your possessions. You never know. We'll be right back.
One more management team member walk by with his head hung down. This is something. I don't know what's going on here right now.
I want to say something very seriously.
Yes.
That I did not get this kind of reaction when I was arrested 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The hangdog way that people are acting now.
Yes.
When they walk by the window.
Fascinating. We're not really sure exactly what's going on now.
No, we haven't ventured outside the studio.
No, we didn't feel that would be prudent.
Ken wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Ken walked by the window.
Didn't look in.
Purposely looked the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Alan walked by the window. Purposely looked the other way.
Right.
Jeremy Coleman, you know, the straw boss of the Jeremy Ranch.
Yes.
He's wearing a path out in the hallway because he's been up and down four, five, six times now.
I just talked to Andy Rice, and I said, let me take the pulse of the building for me, and he indicated that the building is all a flutter right now, so there's major goings on here. You know, a desk.
Now,
serious business.
Now, listen to this, though. We've had plenty of calls, and Rob, I know you're busy, but put some of these people on hold when they call now. Rob tells me during the break that we have had people calling saying this kind of office politics mm-hmm. goes on all over the place.
Oh, of course it does. And that's why we do this, because hopefully everybody that's frustrated in their office is living vicariously through us right now.
Where one part of the building feels that another part of the building is not...
One department or another department.
Not as good.
Sure.
You know, and the thing is, see, our hands are kind of tied, because we can't openly talk about everything
right.
that goes on at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice to say, there are plenty of other departments
yes.
that could be rated for their desks.
Yeah, but it always seems to be our show that seems to be rated, and this is where we drew the line. You have to draw a line somehow, and, you know, it was transparent, their little plan, their little scheme. When Donna might go on the air.
Dan, go get that big gurney and get the desk.
Steal the desk while they're on the air.
They won't do anything. They're so stupid, they probably won't even notice it going by their window.
Now, I'm sure there's that segment of the audience that might be saying, Donna Mike, it's just a desk. Why are you getting all upset? Because the desk represents something. It's not the desk. It's the principle of the desk.
And the fact that we were dicked around by Al.
Right.
You know, he said buy a desk. He really didn't mean buy a desk.
No, he didn't.
He said I'll buy you a desk. He really didn't mean he'd buy us a desk.
He meant we're going to take your desk and you don't need it and you'll forget it because you're just the happy-go-lucky guys that don't care about anything.
Because we're the important sales guys.
Right.
And you guys are just the two slobs that do the afternoon show.
He has no idea the kind of pressure we're under every single day.
We need that desk.
He has no idea what's going on here.
We need that desk. We got to have it. Hello?
Hello.
Who's on hold here? Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing, Don? Mike?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, is your whole sales staff a bunch of scum or what?
No. Generally, I will tell you this. Generally, I think they're a pretty likable bunch.
Yeah, and we are on very good terms with most of the sales staff. As a matter of fact, almost all of the sales staff we're on very good terms with, except for maybe Steve Goldstein.
And now Alan. I mean the late Alan.
Right.
Well, I've noticed this since the parking lot or the parking space fiasco with that girl.
Yeah,
they're all too important.
That's
you guys
right.
Just play in there.
Hold on, here's Rob A. with a bulletin.
Sorry to intrude. There's a delivery out front. I was wondering if you'd like me to call in with a...
Please do. All right. Listen, we got to go. We got a delivery out front.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. But yeah, point well taken.
Yeah, we have to dig our... There goes Dan Rison.
with the pulley. Now,
Dan Rice, and I do not consider Dan to be the culprit in this. No.
Dan's an innocent.
He's an innocent. He's doing his job. Yes. He's following orders.
You know, don't shoot the messenger just because you don't like the message. We realize that.
Dan, a good guy. Dan, we have a great relationship with.
Now, Rob, call me, because I'd like to know now if the station is going to try to send the desk back.
That, I'm sure that's going to happen.
Well, I'd like to hear that on the radio.
I think that should be on the radio.
Here we go. Hello, Rob.
Hi, it's on the way up. The delivery people were up here, but they still have to bring it up from the parking deck.
All right.
All right, what's Dan doing out there?
Dan is, he might have gone down with the hand truck. Did Dan go down with the hand truck? Yes, he did.
Dan went down with the hand truck. Very good sign. Yeah.
A team player.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's, I think the fact that Dan has gone down with the hand truck could be significant.
However,
yeah, you're right. Don't trust them just yet.
Unless, of course, he uses the hand truck to beat and kill the people he possessed.
could very well be.
That's right.
All these looks that we're getting as the salespeople walk by the windows.
I tell you, that means things are happening.
Would you like
that
to speak to Michelle and Ralph? They're right here.
That means there's energy.
Let me talk to Michelle.
All right, for her second consecutive appearance, here is Michelle Combs.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Michelle?
Yes?
You know all those mean things we were saying to Steve Goldstein?
Yes.
We don't mean them about you.
Oh, thank you.
We do mean them about him, though.
Okay.
Not about you, though.
As a matter of fact, Michelle, you can share with the rest of the sales staff that we don't mean those things about any of them. Simply Steve Goldstein. He is singled out as the only one that is replaceable.
And Alan.
Oh, okay.
And listen, who did they steal the desk for? Can you tell me that bit of intelligence? Who is it that needs the desk that they had to steal?
Who?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. There's quite a few salespeople that don't have desks.
Put Ralph on, will you, Michelle?
Okay.
Here he is. Here's Ralph Malf.
Don and Mike.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Ralph.
How you doing?
Listen, how come they haven't given you a desk?
I don't know. I guess I haven't hit that six-month time frame where I become permanent yet.
Hold on. Dan Rice has just walked past the door again.
All right. Now, Dan didn't have anything in his arms. I wonder what's going on.
Ralph,
here.
Put Rob back on.
Okay. Hold on.
Hold on.
What, Brahill? You see something?
What's going
on? I'm
going
to go get him right now.
Something coming down the hallway?
No.
There's a van right out front, the front door to the radio station. It is a black Chevy van. It could be the van that is...
Has the desk.
That is actually... Listen, stay right here,
okay?
You have control of the bridge, number one. I'll be right back.
All right. Don is now making his way down the hallway. There is a black van out in front. Hang up on this caller. All right.
Rob. I was kidding.
All right. Now, Rob, what's going on out there?
They are taking the desk right now out of the minivan. Here's Don.
Hi, Mike.
Don, is the desk assembled or not assembled?
It is freaking beautiful. Canon is helping them take it out. Now, I will tell you this. It's a beautiful-looking oak veneer is how I would describe it. It has that colonial look. It looks like a desk that perhaps Benjamin Franklin would have used.
And now that you are our man on the scene down there, what can you report about acceptance of COD delivery?
I will let you know momentarily. They are coming through the door with it right now.
All right. I just saw Daryl and Dan making their way down the hallway.
Indeed, Daryl and Dan are passing me now.
All right.
Hi, porn. All right, now hold on a second. Here comes our brand new desk.
Okay.
That Daryl says it's busy. And Mike, I will tell you this. As of this moment, it is being moved to the area where the other desk was violated.
That's wonderful. That's terrific. And that will be our replacement desk. Brand new, shiny. Has the chair made it in yet?
No. Hold on. Here it comes right now.
Is it lovely?
It is a leather executive armchair. Hold on a second. Bring that chair over here, please. Will you bring the chair over? I'd like to smell the leather. Can you bring it over?
Is it real leather, Don? Corinthian leather?
I'll find out. Hold on, Mike.
All right.
Hold on. Doug is bringing it over. Mike, I'll tell you this. It's made in Italy.
It's Italy? It's an Italian chair?
It's made by some Italian girl with a mustache.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the question that keeps coming up in my mind right now. This is wonderful furniture that has to be paid for. What's going on with that?
All right. Let me ask, who's the person from Best? Can you come here? Hi. I'm Don. Listen, I need you to come with me in the studio, okay? Come on in. Hold on, Mike. I'm going to bring the representative from Best in as soon as I smell the chair.
All right.
Rob has got it in the bag right now. Let me open it up. Ooh, doggies, as Jed Clampett would say.
Is it a beautiful chair?
Hold on a second. Let me just... that's leather, Mike.
Is it really nice?
You know what? I'm going to bring part of it in with me. I'm going to bring the girl in with me now.
All right.
I'll be there in a minute.
Terrific. All right, so we still don't know whether the station has accepted COD delivery of the chair. The representative from the company is coming in right now. We have had delivery of a brand new desk. Oh, look at that. You brought in the seat. That is marvelous. That's beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
Can I have a sniff?
Look at that. Hold on. Let me just sit on it.
Well, so much for me sniffing that chair.
Hold on. Hey, man. Here we go. Let me just...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Can I tell you something? Right now, my buttocks are tingling.
Oh, that's terrific.
You know, Doc, we could use that when I give you your haircuts, like a booster chair.
That's nice. Let me pass this over. Mike?
All right.
You might want to feel that leather.
I'm going to feel it. I won't be smelling it, but here we go.
Isn't that a nice feeling chair?
I'll just smell the corner.
I noticed as I made my way back down the hall.
Oh, that's a beautiful chair.
Mr. Stevens' office door is closed.
So there's a powwow going on. Perhaps they're hiding in there right now.
I believe so. Here is Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly from Best. Thank you very much.
Bravo, Kelly. Thanks for getting it here so soon. What a fine company you have.
The desk is back now. The chair must be assembled. How much does WJFK Radio owe you for this desk and the chair?
Full price?
Yes.
Full price would be $530.
$530. That's terrific.
And are you guys prepared now to build a station for this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
All right. Consider it done.
Done and done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your prompt service. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Best. After them by name.
Yeah, they're a terrific group of folks.
Best.
That's wonderful. Oh, I just saw another power broker who we have ignored during this entire process. Miss Bobby has made her way into the building. The plot thickens.
Miss Bobby had an evil smile on her face.
Ah, she supports this show 100%.
Yes, she does. Yes, she's on our side. She's one of the good ones.
All right.
Well, this entire sorry mess has come to an end.
It's exhilarating, I tell you. I feel energized, Don.
1 hour ago, look at this, just 1 hour ago, the sales weasels tried to steal one of our old antiquated desks, and now an hour later, there is a beautiful $500 desk sitting in its spot.
I am looking forward to the commercial break so I can go back and stroke the desk myself.
Don't forget to
on it. Yes, mark the territory.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so what do these fellas do? Cheat at cards? Steal some strays? Spit on a rich fella? What?
No, they cut up a woman.
What?
Yeah, cut up her face, cut her eyes out, cut her fingers off. Everything for cunning, I suppose.
Bito.
The Don and Mike Show. They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
I will tell you this, that I did roam the building during that commercial set.
Yes.
People sure are acting weird. Yeah, it's a beehive of activity, and our fearless leader, Mr. Stevens, has his door shut still.
Now the question is...
I just wanted to say, I did see Alan Linewand having a spirited conversation with our own Robé out in the hallway. I'm not sure what was discussed.
Robé! Oh, Robé.
All right, Robé, what was discussed? Are you privy to anything that we should know?
Please come and tell us all of your uncensored testimony.
Alan said that the last word he got from for removing the desk was from Jeremy. And then it was a...
Oh!
Oh, my God, betrayed by one of our own.
But he was smiley and happy.
Oh, my. Hey, get off 444. Who's on 444?
I don't know.
I was. I'm sorry. I had the phone on.
Get off it, Don. The last word was voice.
And now let the buck passing begin.
That's what Alan said to me. And forgive me, Alan, if I have caused trouble for anybody.
All right, let's call the...
Yeah, you hate doing that, don't you?
Call the rancher.
We're sorry. Your call...
Always a good chance to talk to Jeremy Coleman.
No wonder the rancher was up and down the hall so many times.
This has nothing to do with me. Hi.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Alan Linewald says you okayed the taking of our desk.
Yep, that is correct.
Oh, Jeremy.
How could you sell us out like that?
I didn't.
You little rat.
First of all, what I wanted to do was I wanted them to take my desk. So, quite seriously, Bobby will vouch for this. I wanted them to take my desk, and then I would get a cool glass desk.
Well, we know that you...
all right, Danny Thomas.
You do have the best-looking office in the building. There's
and
no
I
question.
Wanted a glass desk for that office.
But wait a minute.
But, no, Bobby approached me a long time ago and said, could we use that desk? And I figured, well, sure, if you're attached to that desk, fine, we'll either get another desk to go in its place or we'll put a bigger table there or something. I don't know. I figured that before it was taken away, we'd have a discussion, figure out what's best for the show,
so you would
go from there.
You had kind of given your cursory approval to some rearranging of the furniture. However, Alan made the decision to abscond with the desk today.
Because you know how twisted I am. I mean, when they ask me, I'm like, well, what's in it for us? I can twist this to our advantage somehow.
We just want to figure out who exactly it is that sold us out on this.
That's the person
All right.
who sold us out. Whoever Dan got the order from to move that desk is responsible for this dilemma today. Would you not agree, Jeremy?
I had to hang up on Jeremy so I could call Dan. Poor Dan, an innocent in all of this.
Yeah, Dan is an innocent. Dan simply doing his job.
Citizen Dan, that's what I call him.
It's Don and Mike.
Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Dan, who ordered you to move that desk at approximately 4:19?
4:19?
Or 4:11, last hour when you were going by. Who ordered you to move that desk?
I moved that desk. I was ordered to move that desk earlier this afternoon.
By?
Like noon, Alan.
By Alan.
Thank you. That's all we needed, Dan.
Okay.
We know you're an innocent in this.
I'm just
tell me
the desk.
Tell me this.
Yes.
The desk was intended for Steve Johnson?
Right.
Okay, my next question is, who is Steve Johnson?
Steve Johnson? I didn't know there was a Steve Johnson here. He doesn't have to call me Johnson.
Sounds like a made-up name.
Is this the Redskins guy?
Yes.
Is this the guy that caught me going through the stuff when he was using Ken's desk?
The guy with the tan? The guy like with
the painted on tan?
With the tanning salon tan?
The Julio Iglesias tan?
The guy's always got that silly little smirk on his face.
And I want to say hello to Julio, because I know he's in town right now. Julio, we are still marveling at your performance on our program a couple of weeks ago. Julio Iglesias, who enjoys foot sex, in town tonight. All right, well, he's not answering.
Well, I don't think he's here today.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Jeremy, you know, and I believe Jeremy 100%. Jeremy wanted that little glass desk.
Yeah.
You know, Jeremy with maybe an oriental carpet in there as well. Jeremy,
whose office looks like the big room in Friends. You know, that big room they all live in. That's what Jeremy Coleman's office looks like.
Very well decorated.
Like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I just called Terry, and she said that Steve was here today, but he's gone now.
He's gone now. So it would be imperative then
to get him the
desk for the man who's not here.
They need it now.
Okay. So let me just get all the facts straight.
Yes.
It did go to Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy did not think that they were going to outright steal our desk.
Jeremy wanted to see what was in it for programming,
right,
to see if they could get some more furniture back in there, and he did not. Jeremy had nothing to do with authorizing Dan to remove the desk today.
It was all Alan Linewand.
It was Alan Linewand.
Okay.
He is still the culprit. He still remains the culprit. And we are behind on commercials.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We have to break again. We will. Listen, perhaps in the next break, I call as my next witness Ken Stevens.
Oh, my God. Hey, who knows? Who knows what can happen when this man gets involved?
Okay. Ken, I think conspicuous by his absence. At this point, I owe it to myself.
Yes.
I owe it to you guys.
Uh-huh.
I owe it to everybody listening.
Absolutely.
Hasn't Steve Johnson been working out of Ken's office lately?
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
That's maybe why he needed the desk.
Sometimes these conspiracies go right to the top.
Hi, everybody. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, doing the radio show, doing the bloodbath.
Yeah, I tell you, it's pandemonium around the old ranch today.
S-H-I Thursday, everybody.
Yes,
sure, happy, it's Thursday.
It's happening today, I'll tell you that.
A couple of quick updates.
Okay.
First, we want to thank American Screen and Glass. They have already called to say that they are donating a glass desk for Jeremy Coleman. Also, private message.
Hold on, Rob's bursting into the studio.
No, what?
Hold on.
What?
If possible, even better, they're donating a beveled glass tabletop for the intern desk. Nothing for Jeremy, but one of those glass tops for the desk.
For what desk? Oh, you mean for our new desk?
Yes. So Jeremy, I'm afraid nothing for Jeremy.
Oh, I got you.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But something
now,
for us.
About that desk?
Yes.
I want that desk, the new one, the $500 one, moved into our office.
Okay.
That's my desk and Mike's desk now.
Move the desk that's in there, move that out to the intern spot.
And just have the guys pour everything, all of the dirty magazines and everything, have them just pour them from desk to desk,
from
drawer
to drawer.
Okie doke. Now, also, I'd like to... And take that lollipop out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have that lollipop.
You know why? Because that lollipop was given to him by Alan Linewad as an olive branch.
I believe everybody should respond to the offer of a gift of a lollipop the way I responded to it. That was to raise my arms. The lollipop, when he tossed it to me, simply bounced off my chest and hit the floor.
I've got mine right here. As you see, it's unopened
right. And
unlicked.
Now, would you like to make a statement with that lollipop, Don? Don is now...
I believe I just did make the statement, Mike.
Don has smashed the lollipop.
Now... Also,
yes,
we have been told now, one of the salespeople told somebody that the plan is that the salespeople eventually are going to take over our side of the building.
I heard this. Now, how does that make any sense?
Because supposedly there's more room on our side of the building.
I don't get it.
On our side of the building, first off, if I can describe the geography here, there are two studios.
Yeah.
Those rooms cannot be used as offices.
Uh-huh.
That's where they do the network stuff from.
Right.
Then I'll count the office space. Our office,
mm-hmm.
Jeremy's office,
yeah.
Tammy's office.
That's one hallway.
Mm-hmm. Then you have the group of desks, like a big cubicle area.
Right.
That involves Big Gum Jim,
mm-hmm.
the public service director,
yeah.
and Cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
That's four workspaces.
That's an area of workspaces with dividers, yeah. cubicles, right?
There are four cubicles.
Right.
Then you have a desk that is used by Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You have the intern desk.
Yeah.
And you have the two desks that are used for the previous program.
Mm-hmm. And in back of that is Dan Ryson's big office.
Engineer. And he's not going to give up that office.
Separating the two cubicle areas is the prison-like lunchroom and sink area where dining occurs here at the facility.
Furthermore, I would like to point out that Mike and I are not giving up our beautiful corner office.
No, we have been moved once before, and we will not... No, sir. No, sir. We will not be moved.
Now, I'm going to call Ken.
All right.
Because I believe that this matter has already been taken care of internally.
Yes.
By Ken. The fact that Alan was walking around trying to give out lollipops, and boy, he couldn't have picked a worse time, though, to come around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with Rob. As you know, sometimes when we have these problems...
Yes.
I know I'm here doing a show, but there's a part of me that's really pissed off that they took our desk.
That's what makes it wonderful.
So I'm telling this to Rob. I'm just trying to let some of this go. And as Alan comes around the corner, I said to Rob, you don't get it. I am really pissed about this. And right on cue...
He walks in?
He comes around the corner and he goes... Olive branch?
No, yeah, with a lollipop.
Olive branch?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've already won the battle. Let's call Ken now.
Right.
Ken Stevens.
He uses those lollipops when he's sending salespeople to the electric chair. Oh, dear. And you never know. This could either tie things up quite nicely in a nice big bundle, or it could get even thicker, and Ken Stevens could add to the quagmire.
Well,
I'm betting the latter.
At this point, Ken doesn't have to get involved. I guess if we call Alan and we just ask Alan if we won and he lost.
That could be a strategy. Be interesting to see what he has to say. Calling Alan Linewand.
Big Al.
Big Al, your desk-stealing pal.
Al.
Yeah, now everybody's laying low, it seems.
Hello.
Ken?
No, this is Alan, actually. It just sounds
Alan, have you cultivated your voice and phone style to sound as much like Ken Stevens as humanly possible?
You know, I've been told... Hello. Yes, hello.
Boy, that was a similar yellow.
Yellow.
Listen.
Yes.
What's Ken's feelings on all of this? Because Ken has been notorious by his absence.
He has been awfully quiet, actually. He just...
Did he yell at you?
Yeah, a little bit, but I guess after he understood what we were doing, he
calmed
down.
After he understood what you were doing?
Well, because if you come back to the sales area, which you haven't done, there's everything's in disarray back here.
So organize your department. That's
well,
not my problem.
We're moving things around. There are bookcases. There are bookshelves. There are.
What do you need books for? What do you need books for?
That's true. That's a good point.
So Ken did yell at you briefly.
Well, I wouldn't call it yelling at me, but...
He disciplined you?
He had the twitch underneath his eye, for above his lip, for a couple of minutes as he was looking at me, and that is kind of the time that I know Ken's kind of pissed.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We've all seen it.
So it would be safe to say that victory is ours now, Alan?
Well, listen, I said something to you that you ran with, and I think it's terrific, because I said, hey, why don't we just borrow it and we'll buy a new one?
Okay.
You can go one step further.
Bye.
That's okay. It. Okay, we
All right. Won. Now I know what happened. Now I know exactly what happened.
Hello.
He calls him in there, and he says,
what the hell?
What are you doing? What is going on the air? And he says, listen, I need desk space. Programming has too many desks. Then Ken says, okay. Then somebody says to Ken, Don and Mike have just ordered a $500 desk. And then Ken says, why would they order a desk? And somebody says,
Alan told them to.
Alan told them that he could, that they could. So this is what happened.
That's a victory for us.
All right.
And I think this is a precedent-setting victory, and it is a strategy that we should employ in the near future when we have other battles like this. We simply spend the company's money.
Let's do a victory dance, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Yeah. Come on now. Victory. It's everybody. Our victory dance.
Yeah. We won, and that's all there is to that.
And you shake it all about. Yeah, let's shake it all about. Show this to the sales staff.
Jeremy's gonna get a desk made out of a big pane of glass. And Alan and Goldstein, they can get down on their knees and kiss my area.
We got a desk, a big oak desk, a big leather chair,
yeah,
for our big asses to sit in. Full of drawers for our junk and toys.
Sweet victory is ours.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Buzz, take the next verse.
Yeah, all right, wait, everybody. Yeah.
We won and we got a desk.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Take it, Broyhill.
Come on. Yeah. Sing it, Charles. Everybody. Very good. Good lyric. Yeah, okay. All
right. So we got a new desk and Al got yelled at.
That's what it's all about. I think it's about time you and I put together a song and dance routine. I think we could do a very fine job.
All right. A quick commercial break. You realize we still haven't taken any phone calls.
No, we haven't.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Memories of the way it used to be in the old days at 8:07 Monday in New York, start of a brand new week with George Michael. All the things that a fool in love believes. Featuring the talent of Mike McDonald, the mix of Jim Burgess, the Doobie Brothers.
International standards are higher than any government standards. They're almost as high as mine.
My goodness, can you find? You can find, in fact, Hebrew. Wait, what are you laughing at? Time. Take two. You can find, say it with authority, you can find Hebrew National hot dogs at Walbaum's Market. Stock up now for barbecues and cookouts at Walbaum's. You will do it.
He came from somewhere in her long ago at WABC, the Doobie Brothers, bringing back some old memories at 810 WABC Music Time at 75 degrees. I'm George Michael, and I want to make you a winner. Are you ready? Second caller, 212-955-9222, will win a pair of tickets to the hit Broadway show of Dracula. Dial now. Let's make you a winner as we bring you your great summer of music on WABC with UZ. Take it all down to the ground at WABC at 8:18 with George Michael. On Monday evening, I would like to turn back the hands of time. What a good record this is. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and a note of optimism.
Beyond the horizon, there is sunshine. Here comes the
sun. From WABC, the music of Chic, and What I Want Is Your Love, and you're saying, didn't Dan Ingram just play that before the news? Dan played about half of it, or a little over. He said, you can pick up what's left, you know, play it on your show. That's a story of my life, folks. I always get the leftovers of Ingram. You ought to try working following him and try to get some money, some paycheck after he's taken his course. You are still the one at WABC. It's the music of Orleans, the 610 Monday evening start of a brand new week. Society for the Prevention of a Blue Monday. Weatherman's going to give us a little cooperation. We're going to get some good weather for you tomorrow. Low humidity, lots of sunshine. Do you feel like getting lucky tonight? Are you up for that? Yeah, big smile. I thought so. It was a tough weekend. Well, here we go. Seventh caller, 212-955-9222. You will win a pair of tickets to KISS in concert in Madison Square Garden, July 24th, furnished by Ron Delfner Enterprises. Let's make you a winner tonight. Sister Sledge, we are all family. That's Maurice White, Earth, Wind, and Fire at 626 WABC with a great summer of music. Hope you're enjoying the summer weather we've got. Got Donna Summer. She's got all that hot stuff. Boy, she gets down and dirty on this thing. Hey, Donna, it's chow time. What you got for dinner tonight, woman? I'm George Michael. Good to have you all with us tonight. Eighth caller at 212-955-9222. We'll win a 4-LP disco pack, each featuring Gloria Gaynor, furnished by Polydor Records. Dial now. I want to make you a WABC winner. Monday in New York, 81 degrees, hazy skies, still a few scattered showers in the air. I guess that it is every guy's fantasy to be standing at the bar some night and to have the most gorgeous woman in the world walk up to him, look him in the eye, and then whisper in his ear.
The Don and Mike Show.
The keynote speakers at the VM Banquet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know, she died. I got a story about her right here. We made fun of the fact that the headline that the Associated Press put out on Friday saying Audrey Meadows soon to die. We read that and we thought, now, what kind of headline is that? What if you're Audrey Meadows and you're laying in the bed and you're reading the newspaper?
Right.
You're going to die in a couple of days.
Not really a cool thing to do.
Well, as it turns out, they had it right. Audrey Meadows did die within a couple of days.
Yeah, and she will be missed. She was, of course, Alice Cramden in The Honeymooners. Everybody watched her. We all loved her.
Reference books put her at 71, but her manager says she was
69.
Mm-hmm. She kept her illness a secret. She, of course, was on The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. And they always ended that show with Ralph Cramden saying, you know, baby, you're the greatest.
Big kiss over the shoulder.
Yeah. Now, she's on her way. I believe she's on her way to heaven. She's in a transitory period now. And I have the number at the waiting room where she's waiting.
Right.
Let's call. This is not an official hotline to heaven call because as of yet, she's not officially in heaven.
Right. She's just in the waiting room. Bags are packed.
Let me call. And why I'm calling, I'll give you this number again.
She is expecting the call, though.
Oh, yes. 1-900-990-6224. Press 3. And that'll cost you $1 to make sure that the name of the new Washington basketball team is the Sea Dogs.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hello, is this Audrey?
This is Audrey. Who's calling?
Ralph Cramden.
How are you, Ralph? I've been waiting for you. What have you been doing? I am so glad to hear from you. Oh, here I am waiting with my bags all packed, all set on the train up to heaven, looking forward to getting up there and seeing all the fabulous celebrities. I'm really looking forward to it, Ralph.
Audrey, it's not really Ralph Cramden. It's Don Geronimo doing the Don and Mike radio show.
Oh, you silly boy. I thought this was Ralph. Would you mind if I called you Ralph? I like to call everyone Ralph.
I loved you on that program. Everybody loved you on the program, The Honeymooners.
Oh, thank you, darling. I'm so glad you love the show. I really am. I know that everybody loved The Honeymooners, and I wish we could do the show forever, but that's just not the way things work out, Ralph.
Were you at all put off by the fact that 2 days ago the Associated Press put out a story about you, and the headline was Audrey Meadows to die any time?
I never pay attention to what they write in the papers. I've always felt that way, Ralph. I'll tell you right now, I don't pay pay attention to what's going on in the papers. I never look. It depresses me, and I'm so glad I didn't read that. I would have been very, very angry, Ralph. And you know how I am when I get angry, Ralph.
Now, Jackie.
Jackie, wonderful man. Very generous.
Jack A. Gleason is already up in heaven. The question is, Audrey?
Looking forward to seeing him. I really am. If they can just get me out of this waiting room and get me out to heaven as soon as possible, I'll be very glad to see him. I really will. I'd just like to say, Jackie, I'm coming up there to see you, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you sure you're going to heaven?
Oh, of course I am. I've led a wonderful life. Anyone that knows me knows that's true. I'm going straight to heaven as soon as they can process my papers. They're going to process my papers, put me on the train, and get me right up to heaven.
If the Albert Brooks movie is correct that I saw with Meryl Streep...
Defending Your Lives?
Yes, what happened?
Oh, what a charming movie. What a charming man Albert Brooks is. I love all his films. Lost in America, Modern Romance. I'm a real connoisseur.
What happens is you get up there and you have someone who is your advocate, someone who is on your side.
Oh, yes.
Do you have someone who's helping you through this transitory period?
Well, I certainly would think. Is your name Donald?
Yes.
I heard it was Dave.
Oh, let me ask you about what you think about this. Eddie Money, you know,
yeah.
The rock star. He was a... Well, first off, he's been on our show a lot over the last 10 years, and when we first ran into him almost 10 years ago...
Eddie Money?
I drank with him and threw up on his bed one
Eddie
night.
Eddie Money, what a foolish artificial name that is. Why doesn't he use his real name like mine, Meadows? That's a charming name, Money. Why don't you just name yourself Penny or Quarter or something like that? I don't understand that. That's just simply ridiculous to name yourself Money in the first place. No wonder he got your name wrong.
He was calling to plug a rock concert he's doing, and he said, hey, Dave, well, he's going to be Dave or Dan. Hey, Dave and Mark.
Dave and Mike? No, I understand he got your partner's name right, didn't he?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he did get Mike O'Meara's name.
Of course he did. I would kick him right off your show. I would let him get a word in edgewise. That's me, though. We're catty. You know, when we worked with Gleason on the show, The Honeymooners,
yes.
We all had to fight for all our lines. We had to make sure that we had all our lines neatly lined up and that we all got our moves and our stage-struck little ways, because otherwise Jackie would steal the show. Jackie would completely dominate us, and it would be Jackie. So we all had to fight for everything that was ours.
All right, this is the other thing I asked you about.
Yes.
Your person who's going to lead you on to the better life.
Ah, yes. You mean somebody that's going to assist me getting in there?
Now, is it somebody who's recently dead who's passed
away? Yes, it is. Yes.
Who is it?
It's the very talented, wonderful artist himself, Dean Martin. Dean Martin's going to be there, and then there's another gentleman who I don't know. See, what it is, it's someone. Here's the way it works. You get two sponsors when you're going into heaven. One you don't know, and one you do know. Now, Dean Martin, I do know. And this other fellow who I've just met just a moment ago, he walked up and he said, I just want to tell you, Audrey, that your cotton picking shows are the best I've ever seen. He's a man named Major Bill Smith, and he says he's got a lot of clout up in heaven. Major Bill says he's going to take me up there with Dean Martin. We're going to have a wonderful time up in heaven.
Now, have you ever heard of him before, Major Bill?
No. He came walking and he greeted me at the door, showed me to my seat. He was wearing a black t-shirt.
Describe him, please.
He was wearing a black sheep t-shirt with a white hat on, a white fedora. He was wearing a medallion of a record, and he had an Elvis Presley logo on his t-shirt.
He was wearing khaki
pants that were slightly stained. His fingernails were long and unkempt. It looked like that man, that poor devil, hadn't cut his fingernails in a century. It was terrible.
That's our Major Bill Smith.
He said that sit down a little bit later on, he's going to fix me a dinner of orange, ruffy, and lima beans, and then shortly thereafter, it's on that wonderful train up to heaven with Major Bill, also Dean Martin, and Audrey, all going up there together, having a marvelous old time.
Now, right now, as you're speaking to me, your spirit is, of course...
My spirit is floating here, talking to you. Absolutely.
Are you being embalmed right now?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention to those terrible details. They make me sick to my stomach. Why should I bother with that? All I know is my spirit is free. I'm on the way up to heaven with this lovely man, Major Bill Smith, and his long fingernails, and Dean Martin. They're all going to help me up there. Major Smith, Major Bill is standing right over here. Would you like to shout with him?
Oh, now, I didn't know that he was able to leave heaven and go to the transitory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, put him on.
He said, that's his job, is to guide me, Audrey Meadows, up to heaven, and I'll put him on with you right now. Major Bill!
Put him on, please.
Major Bill, would you be a dear? Would you be a dear? He's coming over here right now. I'll put him on the phone. Hold on just a second. Blah, 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 blah.
Hello?
Hey, Mage.
Who's this?
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara.
Is this Don? Dog, wad, wait a cotton picket second here. This is Major Bill Smith.
Hey, Major.
I'm up to my eyeballs and alligators and Audrey.
What are you doing there with Mrs. Gleason?
Oh, Dodd, you know, up here in heaven, we help everybody come up and get acclimated. We pick them up down on the earthly plane, and we bring them up to that little station, and we bring them to heaven. You know the cotton picket, Mage. I'm going to bring up Audrey and introduce everybody up here, including, I almost fooled you there, Elvis Presley. No, he's still alive. You know that. How are you, Don?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Don, I'm glad I got you on the line. I need you to do a favor for me.
Of course, Mage.
I want you to check out my group Spectra the 7th and see if they got any kind of record deal. And that cotton picket Johnny Hara, who used to think that he was the greatest cotton picket Elvis Presley impersonator in the whole wide world, check out him for me, will you, too?
I sure will, man.
Will you check out my friend Kelly? Kelly and I, you know, we had a falling out right before I went to the great beyond. And
now, that was the young woman that you were getting it on with, right?
Oh, darn. I don't like to say getting it on. She was my companion. She was my cotton-picking companion. She liked me because I was a patriot. I was Major Bill Smith. I flew more bombing missions than anybody over at WW2, and now I'm up here looking down. Check on Spectron 7, will you please?
That's your black group?
That's my black group, and I want to see how they're doing. And also, Johnny Hara. Yeah,
that's what he said one time when he was on our show. He's still alive, right in the middle of everything, all the talking about Elvis. He says, I got me a black group.
Well, I tell you, when I came up here to heaven, Don, I didn't think I'd get the opportunity to hobnob with Dean Martin and Cotton Pickett and Andre Meadows and all these great people, like Kelly Savalas and everybody, and Vic Payback, folks that I'd never gotten a chance to meet before. This is a big thrill for me. Tonight, before we go off to heaven on the train, we're all going to have a big supper of orange ruffy.
Would you put Alice Cramden back on the phone?
Andre, yeah, hold on a second. Andre,
let me talk to her once.
Andre, get your Cotton Pickett buttons over here. Don wants to talk. Hello, Ralph.
I'm playing your song right now.
The Honeymooners. I remember that so well. What a marvelous show that was. That was absolutely incredible. Jackie was so generous. Jackie was so wonderful, and at the end, he kissed me, you know. It was never a real kiss. He was always embarrassed about that. He just put his little cheeks down on my shoulder, and we'd turn away from the camera. A perfect gentleman each and every day. Of course, unless he was drinking, and then he'd be totally obnoxious.
You ever cop a feel?
Never copped a feel, but there was a great deal of vomiting. Constant vomiting on the set before and after the show. Jackie was a big drinker and a big eater, and those two, as you know, Donald, those don't mix.
Now, you're all dead, right? Jackie's dead. Is Trixie dead and Norton?
No, Norton and Trixie are still alive on the earthly plane, and they're doing quite well, I understand, and that's marvelous. Ralph and I will simply be up here in heaven dancing the night away in our little Bensonhurst condo.
Well,
of course, it's not called a condo. I think it's a flat. We call it a flat now. Sorry about that. Major Bill will help me with all those terms.
If you would be so kind as to jot down our names and
alrighty.
And when you get up to heaven, there's a big picture phone that you can use.
Okay, let me just see.
You put our names.
Just a second, Ralph.
You put our names into the picture phone, and you'll be able to talk to us anytime from heaven.
I've got the paper right here. Give me your names once again. It's Dave.
Dave Geronimo. And Mike O'Meara.
Oh, what charming names. David. That's wonderful. I'll make sure that I contact you continuously, and I'm really looking forward to getting upstairs and meeting the big man, if you know what I mean. You know who.
Oh, yeah. Oh, G-O-D.
Oh, no. Telly Savalas. Bye, now.
Here she is.
Oh, nice to see Major Bill is helping her.
Late Audrey Meadows.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, 8% of that group sampled at least one premiere to give us their opinion of the product. Bottom line? Well, of all the groups we tested, the response to premiere was just about uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They all said they tasted like
They all said that? Nobody liked them? Fewer than 5%.
How much are we in for up to now?
Today?
Today, to here, to now.
Upwards of 350. We've spent $350 million and we've come up with a turd with a tip? God almighty, Ed. We poured enough technology into this project to send a cigarette to the moon, and we come up with one that tastes like it took a dump?
We haven't even talked about the smell.
Well, what'd they say that was like? A fart?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not serious. They really said that?
We've got an awful lot of fart figures, sir, yes.
Tastes like and smells like a fart. We got ourselves a real winner here. It's one goddamn unique advertising slogan, I'll give you that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Love is a spice with many tastes. A dizzying array of textures and moments.
Even better than a titty bar. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, about Jerry Seinfeld. Here's the thing. You know, Jerry Seinfeld's got a show that's on once a week. They only got about 23 new episodes they have to do a year.
That's right.
Jerry Seinfeld needs to know how important his show is.
We wait for it. We look forward to it.
There's nothing else on TV
that's worth watching anymore. That's worth setting aside the 1.5 hour.
We're sitting there. We're waiting for the big laughs. We're waiting for the guffaws.
No matter where I am on Thursday, I know that at 9 o'clock, it's Jerry Seinfeld time.
That's right.
Okay? Last week's episode, a bit of a disappointment, but it's okay.
Yep.
Because you know why? There's always next week.
And you know, usually if they're going to have a mediocre episode, it's going to be followed by a real killer.
All right, so last night, I'm psyched. I'm ready.
Sure.
I sat through Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I sat through Boston Common. I waited for 9 o'clock, and it's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's a great feeling. When he comes on to do his monologue in the credits, and you realize it's one you haven't seen before,
yep.
You go, oh, a new Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, I had not seen that. Was it a repeat or was it a new one? We're not
it
sure.
It was new to me. I hadn't seen it.
I hadn't seen it either.
Buzz was under the impression it was a repeat, so Buzz was viewing something else, right?
I didn't watch. Yeah, I watched some tapes. It was George, in his car, and the birds pooping on his car, and Mr. Steinbrenner, and they thought George was dead. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. That was a repeat.
So that is a repeat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you can track with the one we're
now
talking about.
Now I feel better. I feel like all I right. haven't missed it. Well, it was new to both Mike and
yeah.
myself.
Yeah, new and bad.
So we had the feeling. We had that good Jerry Seinfeld feeling when right. you sit down. Here's my only point, and we're going to call NBC here
mm-hmm.
to try to explain it to Jerry himself.
That's a good idea.
We do 5 shows a week for 4 hours a day on a national level. Let's take away our pre-show because that's not national.
4 hours a day nationally.
Every day, we do a show that in its own way is unique,
mm-hmm.
clever, and GD hilarious.
And jam-packed with great gags, Don.
Yeah, the yucks are nonstop on this show. Jerry Seinfeld, on the other hand,
right.
has 23 minutes a week to fill.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a staff of writers.
Yeah.
He also has producers and directors and assistant directors and talent directors and talent associates and gophers.
23 minutes a week. I mean, the average time that the average man over 200 pounds spends in the bathroom each morning.
23 minutes a week.
Sure, it might be a half hour for some of us.
And if it's the Sunday paper,
yes.
Yeah, no, you can double that.
Yeah, you can approach the 60-minute mark.
So, I'm a 60-minute man. So, you can understand how Mike and I could be upset at Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Here we are every day, proving our point, doing a fabulous network show
mm-hmm.
every day. And then last night, you turn it on. And what a letdown.
Yeah, and once again, the letdown occurred because I think Jerry attempting to weave all those little plot lines cleverly together and not going for the big gags.
I could do without the Johnny Cochran guy.
That's right, me too.
I can do without the OJ references. I can do without, you know, who didn't see it when he said she should try the bra on in the courtroom.
Yeah, and does Mr. Steinbrenner really have to be that much of an idiot? Do they have to go that far with that? Come on.
So, last night's show was very disappointing. There's only one way to take care of it. We're going to call NBC, and we're going to talk to Jerry Seinfeld himself.
Right.
And if we can't get through, I'll call back, and I'll be Aaron Spelling.
And the advice is going to be lose the Johnny Cochran. That's not necessary. And also, don't always try to weave everything together. Just
right.
try to be funny.
When you see the woman walking down the street...
NBC and NBC 4.
Hello? When you see the woman...
Remain on the line while your call is answered by the next available
operator. There it is. There's that guy I'm going to shoot.
When you see a woman walk down the street wearing a bra as if it were a top,
mm-hmm.
and Jerry wants to talk...
NBC.
Hello, yes, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, we're doing our national radio show right now. Can we please be put through to the Jerry Seinfeld show?
One moment, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When the woman, when Jerry and Kramer have seen the woman wearing just the bra down the street...
Right.
Please don't have it be a coincidence when Elaine comes in
mm-hmm.
that Elaine gave her the bra.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's their attempt. I mean, you know, who didn't know that Kramer was going to drive into the telephone pole when he saw the woman with the bra? Come on.
Right.
Come on, work a little harder.
And the OJ stuff.
Nose to the grindstone. Now, Buzz, you're not chiming in here. Did you think the episode was funny?
It's been so long, it doesn't stand out in my mind as a great episode, but it's been a while since I've seen this one.
Buzz reminding us once again that we did not see the original episode.
Actually.
Thank you.
Yes, hello.
Hello, may I help you?
Yes, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're looking for the Jerry Seinfeld show, please.
Okay.
We're doing a radio show.
Okay, they don't actually tape here. Let me give you their production office number.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, can you hold on a second, please?
Sure.
Hold on. Somebody write down that number for me. Pick up that phone.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Charles Broyhill atoning for his earlier mistake now by jotting down the number.
And sporting the haircut that you had only moments ago.
Yes. That I have done. No need. Hang up the phone.
There you go. Got it.
All right, now we're calling Jerry Seinfeld to offer some tremendously
constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism.
Listen, nobody's bigger fans of that show.
We love the show.
We watched that show when that show was on Wednesday nights when nobody watched.
Seinfeld.
Yes, hello. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show right now. Mm-hmm. Can we talk to Jerry or to somebody involved in the production of the show? Somebody on a high level?
Hold on a second.
Thank you.
That's great.
Jerry's got some classic rock on his
and we can get, I
call
guess,
waiting.
You know, we can get the information as to when the new episode, the next new episode is going to be on.
Larry David is his co-producer, by the way.
And that's the guy that quit?
He's not coming back next year.
I think he might be gone already.
Really?
I think he left last year.
Well, shows.
And Jerry. Jerry's acting skills every once in a while. Like last night when he was
Mark.
Trying.
Hello?
Hello?
Mark.
Hello?
No, it's the other one. Actually, no one's kind of in. We're done shooting, so.
Oh, you're done shooting?
Yeah, we finished a week ago.
Can you tell us when the next new episode's going to be on?
Air?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Next week, I believe, or the week after that, actually, April 25th.
So next week's another repeat?
Right.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
Alrighty.
If we gave you some constructive criticism for the show, would you be able to get that message back to Jerry?
Well, since he left, probably not, no.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't you have his phone number at home?
No, actually. It changed.
It changed. Does he have a beeper?
No. Not for me, anyhow.
Who's the other guy? Larry David?
Now, is he gone? Is Larry David gone, or is he still there? Still working on the show?
He's leaving the show.
He's leaving. Has he left yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right, so he's gone there.
So who's the man in charge right now? Who's the Alexander Haig of the Seinfeld set?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the producers, probably.
Could you find one of them?
They're all at lunch now.
Who has the biggest dressing room on the show?
They're all actually the same.
Even Jerry's?
Maybe it's a little bigger, but...
Yeah, Jerry's a little bigger.
Of course.
Yeah, we thought so.
Okay. Does Jerry take part in auditioning the women that play, like, his girlfriends on the show?
Yeah, he is a big part of that. Uh-huh. Not just the women, of course, but, you know, that is...
Does Jerry try to have it written into the show every week that he gets a make-out scene?
No.
That's
I'm
just
sure that's gone through people's minds, though.
But he could if he wanted, right?
Sure.
Because it's his show.
Sure.
He's okay. A producer, too, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
What did Jerry give you for Christmas last year?
Actually, a TV.
A big TV?
No, a small one.
How big?
Like a handheld.
Handheld.
Oh, man.
You see, we're real tight, you know.
You mean like a watchman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the same gift I gave Buzz 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Just to show you the level of gift giving, I gave that to the guy who does the news on our radio show 2 years ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
You know, in our world, down here in the world of peons, that's a nice gift.
Mm-hmm.
However, up in your elevated world,
I would think maybe even giant screen TV for you.
Right, well, you would think.
Of course, we don't know what your rank
for
is.
This for the whole crew.
Yeah, what is your rank? What do you do? Can I ask what you do on the show?
Production assistant.
Production assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe a giant screen TV would be a little bit
too big.
Yeah, does Jerry make you go out and wash his car and stuff?
No, I don't do that. His personal assistant does that.
Personal assistant?
Mm-hmm. Mm. It gets pretty complicated, let me tell you.
When Jerry, like, rejects one of the chicks that's going to come by to audition to be his girlfriend, do you get a chance to meet him?
Doesn't really work that way. I'm sure a lot of us try, but, you know.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for your time.
No problem.
And, we appreciate it.
I think this man's going to go far at the network. I really do.
I predict the same.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope so. Maybe I'll meet up with you guys.
Very good.
All righty.
What would your first name be, sir?
Sterling.
All right. Sterling.
We now have a contact.
That's great.
Okay. Alrighty.
Thank you.
No problem. Bye-bye.
There he is. Sterling Silver with everybody. And good afternoon.
It's the Sterling Silver Show.
Now, if I was to call back right now as Aaron Spelling,
right?
Do you think he'd think it was us? Or would it just be a wacky coincidence?
I think there's only one way to really find out. You have to see the power. You know, you might want to get that Jerry Seinfeld home number as Aaron Spelling.
Gotcha.
Perhaps he'd be more willing to give it to Aaron than to Don and Mike.
Gotcha.
Of course, he's off the air.
Jerry Seinfeld, please. This is Aaron Spelling. I'm two lots over. Can you find Jerry for me, please? Sure.
Two lots over.
Yeah, I'm on hold.
The title of the Aaron Spelling biography. Two lots over. Two lots over. I'm having a cocktail in my deluxe cabana.
We're working on Melrose.
Could you have Larry? Could you have Jerry come down to my cottage, please?
Yeah, my movie studio cottage.
And two lots over. I'm in the writing room.
I'm in the cottage that Carol Lombard used. Well, I'm on hold now.
Let me just share the music with you that I'm listening to.
Hey, that Jerry Seinfeld rocks.
He enjoys his classic rock.
Yes, he does.
I'm still on hold.
I'm in the Rita Hayworth suite. Yeah. We're thinking about the exact same thing, too, those old movie sets where they put the writers. Yeah, come on.
Oh. Being transferred somewhere.
Wonderful.
This is Mr. Spelling. I'm looking for Mr. Seinfeld. I am just two lots over. Sure, let me give you my number. It's 520. Now, that's my direct line. Can I ask that number not be given out? All right. That's on your lot. That is it. If you could have him call me, I'll be around for 10 minutes. Thank you.
Where'd you pull that number from?
Well, hey. Same one I used. Same number that I gave the last guy. 213-520, the only number in Hollywood that I know. It's a request line to Kiss FM. I better call and say that Aaron Spelling's going to be expecting a call.
Oh. Hey, you know.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on.
Let's see. Hey, you know, if Jerry does happen to pick up the request line for Kiss FM, won't they be happy?
He told me a different story. He didn't tell me Jerry was gone. He told me Jerry was in editing.
Ah.
And he asked if I was on live.
An error. Please check the number and try your call again.
Oh,
too bad. I will tell you, though, even though it's disconnected, could be a good number to have as our regular L.A. number.
You can't go to China. What about your job? Shut up. So, write a letter, move to another borough. Move to Staten Island. It's a lot easier to blend in with a sea of people in Staten Island than China, believe me.
Yeah, Staten Island. What about my clothes? How do I get the rest of the clothes?
Well, you come back for your clothes.
I'm not going back in there.
So forget about your clothes.
Well, I'm not starting up a whole new wardrobe now!
Look, freedom and no clothes is a lot better than no freedom with clothes.
Well, should we just take a plane somewhere?
And what, hope for a crash?
It happens.
You know what the odds are on a crash? It's 1,000,000 to 1.
It's something. It's hope.
Today is Aaron Spelling's birthday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The real Aaron Spelling.
Yeah. The man that you... Well, you've patterned your life after him, haven't you, really?
Yes, I have, Mike. This is Aaron Spelling.
68 today.
I'm at the Lombard Bungalow.
Spelling resident.
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing
hello?
Our national radio show now. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, she couldn't hear you.
No way now. Is the button turned on, Charlie?
There you go.
Yes, wanted to say happy birthday.
See if it's gotten back to them yet that I'm impersonating him all over town.
Mm-hmm.
You can thank him, though, by wishing him a happy birthday.
Hello, this is Aaron.
Here's a man that gets anything he wants for his birthday.
Good afternoon, Spelling Residence.
Yeah, hi, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now. We're wondering, is Aaron there to take a birthday call from us?
From Don and Mike from what radio station?
All kinds of radio stations. We've got a national show.
Radio stations. And you want to wish Mr. Spelling a happy birthday?
Listen, yeah, and I'm the guy who's calling all over Hollywood and saying that I'm Aaron Spelling. Like
you're
sending up
all over Hollywood saying you're Aaron Spelling?
Yeah, like setting up meetings with Rick Dees and stuff to meet at the Lombard Bungalow on the MGM lot.
But he sounds nothing like Aaron, at least that's what we're told.
Here's the impression I do.
Let's get an opinion of the impression.
Hello. This is Aaron Spelling. I'd love for you to be on my new show, whatever the name of the show is that's on Saturday night.
Malibu Shores.
Malibu Shores. That's right. Does that sound anything like Aaron Spelling?
Not quite. Hold on.
So maybe he'd like to hear this.
This might be the moment. This might be the moment you've
waited
for.
Can I help you?
Oh, I
thought I'd get to meet my maker finally.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, yeah, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now. We'd like to wish Aaron a happy birthday.
I'll let him know you called.
We can't sing happy birthday to him ourselves?
Is he not?
No, he's out having birthday celebrations.
Oh.
Do you know where he's at?
No.
Would you like to try your Aaron Spelling impersonation this woman?
I've called, whenever we try to call celebrities or like newspapers or TV people on our show, nobody ever takes our calls.
Why is that?
Well, because we're a couple of schmuck disc jockeys. However, when I call and I pretend that I'm Aaron Spelling,
people take your call?
They take my call instantly.
It opens doors, and Don would like to do is try his impression out, and you can tell us whether it's accurate or not.
Here's what I usually say. Go.
Okay.
Hello, this is Aaron Spelling. I'm at the Lombard Bungalow right now on the MGM lot. I'd like Rick Dees in the morning to meet me at 8:30. I'll have a golf cart waiting for him at parking lot 7.
How does that sound?
I don't think so.
Well, it works. It works a lot for me. Can you tell me? I've heard he has a southern drawl. Does he have a Texas accent?
A little bit? Yeah.
So would it be...
Ross Perot?
No.
Would it be closer to this?
Hey, y'all. This is Aaron Spelling.
No.
I'm thinking about putting you on my new show, Malibu Shores. Got lots of T, got lots of A, and got my daughter Tori on.
Do you like the show Malibu Shores?
What was that, darling?
Do you like the show Malibu Shores?
Oh, if it'll get me closer to Aaron Spelling, I love the freaking show. You bet. Big bouncing boobs and big strong guys, big thighs.
Well, I'll let him know you guys called.
That doesn't sound anything like him either?
No.
Oh,
sorry.
All right. How long have you been working for Mr. Spelling?
11 years.
Wow.
11 years? He ever put you on a Love Boat or anything?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Would he put us on any of his shows?
No.
How do you know that? How do you know they wouldn't be looking like for a couple of guys who escaped like from a loony bin?
But a couple of schmucky disc jockeys.
Right, yeah.
You know, we're guys that would be perfect character actors, and we're both members of SAG.
Well, send us your picture and resume.
We've been on, I hate to brag, but we've appeared with speaking roles on Briscoe County and also Babylon 5.
Oh, and look where Briscoe County is now.
Well, you know, this
nothing is. We are putting nothing past this.
That is exactly my point.
They didn't get there in time.
That is exactly my point.
Okay, well, I'll let him know that you guys called.
Yeah, if you could just share with him, it's Don and Mike called the next big thing in TV.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's terrific.
All right, now wait a minute. Let me call back now and do my impression.
Okay. This is your new southern impression. Now that you know that he has a Texas accent and not the aforementioned New York accent that you were doing. Now it's Aaron with a southern. However, I think you must keep the New York accent.
Yeah, the New York has worked, though.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what Aaron Spelling really sounds like. Hold on, I got to... Let it ring a couple.
Welcome to 1-800-ASK-4-ASK. The only party line you need for good butt action.
All right, hold on. There we go. All right. So you're not going to adopt a southern accent at all? And...
Hey, Granny. Uncle Jim. Aaron Spelling's out in the pool. Very out of character for
us. Yes.
For the Aaron Spelling that I've created.
Yes, you've created a Hollywood producer type with a very thick New York accent, Dolly. Are you going to try it again?
Yeah.
Are you calling the spelling resume?
This is Aaron, hello.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Aaron. Any messages? Hello, are there any messages for me? Any messages? Any messages? Now listen, are you really going to tell him that I called? You have it written down right now, darling? He sounds nothing like this, does he? Can I put your voice back on the air? No, I can't. Why? Why can't I? Because you might hang up. Tell me, is this closer? Well, this is Aaron Spelling. Jesus, I got a hot show. Hello?
She's gone.
Oh. She hung up?
Ah, the welcome was overstayed.
She hung up.
There she goes.
And for those of you who think that we were lying about appearing on Babylon 5...
Survey 1, you were holding towards 7x13 and await arrival...
Just listen to this piece of brilliant acting.
Standing by. Launch fighter.
Show still on the air, by the way.
And I'll have you know that they were not speaking lines for us. I ad-libbed, which is how we got our SAG card.
Roger that, Delta Leader. I'm on his tail.
Where's our scene?
Right here. Right now.
I appreciate the commission, gentlemen. See you next month.
See you then. Thank you.
There it is. Right there.
That was good.
That's it. And then we walk off like the guys on Dragnet. We walk off with our arms stapled to our side.
The original.
That's not a line. Damn it, Can I just have 5 minutes? Please.
Okay.
And didn't they fire the guy who was the captain?
Yeah.
He has been replaced, yeah.
Yeah, he's been replaced by Bruce Boxleitner.
Right. Bruce Boxleitner, he's dreamy.
Have you heard him lately? He's changed his voice to be like this.
Oh, he has really?
He's got this voice like this. He tries to sound tough.
Well, happy birthday to Aaron Spelling.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
See, when you talk about Whitney Houston, she's a great vocalist. Okay. When you talk about Tim Allen, he's a great comic. I don't know that Tim Allen isn't qualified to do all the things I do. Or all the things a chaplain did, I don't know. He may not want to do more than he does. Or he may know his limitations. But when you talk about Sammy Davis Jr., you're talking about somebody that was injected with a spirit to be a total performer. I got it from my dad. He had a very simple philosophy. If you're going to be in this business, do it all. Know it all. Learn it all. Absolutely be aware of your craft, and then go out on the stage and have a great time giving the people their money's worth. My dad used to say to me, if you walk off stage and you didn't sweat, you're an amateur. I don't know about who's around that understands that today. I think that what is missing in a lot of our performers today is passion. I think that some of them think that's a sign of weakness. I have never had a problem with tears. If they come, they come. And I make a very, very simple deal with everybody. You take me exactly like I am, or you can't have me. I don't need you in my dress room to tell me I was wonderful, because I know it while I'm doing it. I also know from the inner government how bad I did if I did badly. So if you're not going to come to my dress room when I'm hurting, don't come for the victory dinner. You got to come both times.
The Don and Mike Show. When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian's. Don and Mike.
Now, I don't know how much time we have to devote to this DJ story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know for sure that it's the same DJ, but I've heard that it is. It's just a story.
Yes, another good hard look at the underbelly of radio.
About what a phony business radio is. Now, having said that, I will tell you, as everybody who listens to the show knows, that, of course, Don Geronimo is not my real name.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Burbank is not his real name. Mike does use his real name. In this way, myself in particular, I am a hypocrite, okay? But that's the way that you did radio when I got into radio.
Sure.
And I've made my name and made my fame in this business with this name.
Sure.
Now, I haven't lied about my past.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been discovered on the side of a road handing money out to people.
Like you're just some sort of guy off the street that wants to get into radio.
Now, if it is the same guy, then this is a big scam being pulled on the people of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked in Chicago 15 years ago, I worked at a station called WLS, and there was a guy named Chuck Evans. This guy was certifiably nuts. He would do his show, and Buzz knows him too. He would do his show. He had a shaved head, and he was one of these workout freaks, and he would do his show without his shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And when people would call in to be on the air and to give him prizes and stuff, his whole act is, do you want it? Tell me, do you want it? What's your favorite station? You're making me mad. That's the guy's whole rap, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes Chuck Nasty.
Right.
Then he takes it a step further, and he becomes the Nasty Man.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a job in Kansas City. He works for a guy in Kansas City named Steve Perrin, who incidentally he worked for in Chicago. Steve Perrin, okay. So now keep in mind he worked with Steve Perrin in Chicago.
Pookie
then hires him in Kansas City. What happens is Chuck Evans is such a nut job he can't hold a job. He gets fired, and he has to go to Guam. Guam is the only place that he can get a job. I get a call one day from a friend of mine in Chicago. It says, you are not going to believe what happens to Chuck Evans. He got fired from KBEQ in Kansas City, and he's working in Guam now.
Guam, that's where all DJs go.
Well, then the next thing you know, this guy, the program director, Steve Perrin, he gets a job at KIIS in Los Angeles. And he hires this guy to be his afternoon disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
Again, at this point, more power to him.
Sure.
Now, here's the story as it's reported in the Los Angeles Radio Guide. It was a sun-soaked October day along the 60 freeway in Los Angeles. The nasty man appeared in scuba gear, handing out cash to curious passerby. Another weird character drawn to the big city? An aspiring homeless person? Always on the lookout for the new and strange, KIIS morning man Rick Dees put him on the air by phone. Within days, the shiny, shaven head of the Pacific Island personality was in the program director's office, planning his assault on LA's airwaves. He's going to be a major personality of this market, predicted Steve Perrin. Working at LA is the biggest thing he's ever done. Now, I will tell you that the guy not only worked in Chicago, he worked in a couple of other really big cities and had really big radio jobs.
Okay.
Here's a quote from him. I've always had an interest in radio, but I never thought I'd do it for a living. With a few part-time DJ jobs under his belt, keeping in mind the guy was working at WLS, which was the number one top 40 radio station in America.
Yeah, and he was working full-time.
Yes, yes, he was a full-time guy.
Just what I'm trying to do, because, you know, they're going to try to slither out of it by saying, well, we never really said.
No, and he worked full-time in Kansas City.
Right.
And he worked full-time in Minneapolis.
Sure.
And he's worked at 1,000 stations like we all have. With just a few part-time DJ jobs under his belt, he landed full-time position at a radio station in Guam, where he was on the air for 5 years. We didn't have traffic reports because it was a small island, but we did diving reports. That was my thing. I would go scuba diving 3 or 4 times a week. His interest in L.A. was piqued during a layover in 1994. I was coming back from dropping my kid off at summer camp. The O.J. trial was just getting underway. As I looked out the window, I could see the L.A. city lights, and the thought hit me, I want to work there. So after my visit with my son, I flew back to Los Angeles. One thing I noticed when I got here is that California radio didn't sound like radio should. So I did what I do. Steve Perry has given me the freedom to do my own presentation. I don't do my show the way that other stations do. And then it goes on about his program, about all the stuff he does on his show, the crazy things that he does.
Playing the hits.
One call finds him engaged in conversation about Fredericks of Hollywood with a young housewife. Seconds later, she reveals that her son is paralyzed. He wants to know why she only faxed in her phone bill in the Kiss FM We Pay Your Bill contest. You must have bigger bills than that, he implored with a deep, hard-edged voice, sounding like Joe Friday on speed. Well, the phone bill gets bigger, you know, she replied. Genuinely moved, he gave her tickets to the celebrity opening of the new Christian Slater film, Bed of Roses.
Well, that'll help.
So,
this is coming out of a promotions department office at a radio station, all of this.
Compassion turned to bravado as he boasted he had done 100 push-ups with one hand behind his back to a breathless female caller. Bald, tanned, and a muscular and compact frame,
okay.
He embodies the emerging hybrid of masculinity that combines 50s machismo with the I-don't-take-myself-all-that-seriously facade of the Gen X male.
A la pro wrestler.
Right. Now, the thing about this is the listeners of this station have been sold a bill of goods that this was a guy who was standing on the side of the road,
mm-hmm,
handing out money.
And that he's a nobody in radio, and that, you know, he was such a nobody that he worked in Guam. Well, no, this guy, as you are indicating, has a track record a mile long.
Yeah, he sure does.
But this is the spin they're putting on it, because it's more exciting, especially in Los Angeles, to have an unknown, a newcomer. That's why they're doing this.
You see, the whole thing was a scam. The station says, you go down on the
5.7 Kiss FM.
Yes, hello. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our radio show right now. Is Steve Perrin there, please?
Don.
Thank you. The station gives him the money, and then the station has Rick Dees, the
Perrin's office.
Hey, we got a crazy guy giving money. Hello, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara calling. We're doing our radio show. Is Steve Perrin there?
No, he's not available right now.
How about Chuck Evans? Is he around?
Chuck? No, he's not here either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a friend of Pookie's. I worked with him at WLS.
I just am
making sure that Chuck Evans, he's the same Chuck Evans I worked at with WLS. He worked with Steve there, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
So you would confirm that he is the Chuck Evans from WLS in Chicago?
You know, and KB, he worked with Steve at KBEQ.
Works without a shirt.
Well, I wouldn't put money on it, but...
That's what you heard? His name is Chuck Evans, though? Nasty Man?
The Nasty Man.
Oh.
No one knows his real name.
Yeah.
That's kind of a secret thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, his
right.
real name is Chuck Evans.
See, the thing is,
don't worry, our show is not on in Los Angeles right now. We're just doing a little thing to show the hypocrisy of radio.
Uh-huh.
See, because all the people that listen to Kiss FM there, they really probably believe that this guy never had a job in radio before. He worked at some of the biggest stations in America.
The Nasty Man?
Yeah, and he was just such a loser, he got blown out and he had to go work in Guam before Steve Perrin saved him. And then you guys came up with this idea of having him give out money on the side of the road wearing a scuba suit while wacky Rick Dees says, hey, we've got a guy on the side of the road, and you decide to pull him in and give him a job like he's a nobody.
Well,
and we all know that that's BS.
How did you guys get your job?
I got my job by coming up through the ranks.
Ratings.
Well, you know, standing by the side of the road handing out money is coming up through the ranks.
Oh, yeah. Come on, listen.
She's give her credit. She's holding on to the company line.
But you do, listen, I've got my information. You tell Steve Perrin that he better hope our show never comes on in Los Angeles, because this secret will be out of the bag.
Yeah, we'll expose this.
As a matter of fact, is Chuck Evans there right now?
You know what? I don't know, you know, who this Chuck Evans is.
Oh, now, it seems to me that early in the conversation you knew who Chuck Evans was.
But you know what, guys? I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Yes.
I am an intern who's been here a total of 2 weeks.
But when I originally said to you, do you know Chuck Evans, you said...
I thought you meant Commander Chuck, the man who flies around in the little helicopter.
No.
Commander Chuck, baby.
Yeah, the story's getting thicker. We don't even know whether this woman was really an intern or not.
The Nasty Man, is he around?
The Nasty Man is here.
Let's talk to...
Do you want me to see if he'll talk to
yes,
you?
Yes, ask
okay,
the Nasty
see your
Man.
Names again, sirs?
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Geronimo and O'Mara. Hang on a sec.
Right. The Nasty Man, baby. So he's not even going by Chuck Nasty anymore, right? It's just the Nasty Man?
Nobody knows his name.
And that is his name. Is that in
that's what it
there?
Says, Nasty Man.
The Nasty Man.
Simply Nasty Man.
Last week's number two, this week's number four. Missing everything but the girl.
And here's a question for you. Why is an intern answering the program director's telephone?
Very interesting.
She's no intern. She's his secretary.
She's the Nasty Woman.
Still waiting for Nasty Man to pick up the phone.
Everything but the girl.
All right, guys. Nasty, I'll talk to you. Hang on a second.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Whoops. Now, who knows if this will even be the same guy?
Now, will you know this guy by voice?
Instantly. Instantly, I'll know him. Hello? Now, who knows? They could put another guy on the phone, though. Not really going to know until they get a tape.
Yeah, we'll know, though.
Oh, yeah, we'll know if it's...
Geronimo, the man. What's happening?
That's him.
It's him.
It's him.
It's him.
Hollywood, man. We're in Hollywood right now, the scum capital of the world. Man.
I have a
another pack of Red Dog drinking, $10,000 giving away, frozen alive, son of a gun. Let me tell you something, man. In Hollywood, I kiss the girls, I make them cry.
I want to know something, man. Do you want it? Do you want it, Chuck?
I want it, man.
Do you want it? Do you want it?
I want it. I'm begging for it, man. I'm grabbing my ankles right now.
Do you remember those crazy nights we had at WLS, man?
As far as up and down my back to prove it.
That's right, man.
Representing the industry the best way I know how.
Beautiful. Hold on a second, Chuck.
Sure.
Hold on. All right. Case closed. Case closed. You can hang up on him now.
There you go.
Case closed.
Another plot revealed. Another great job of sleuthing.
See what I mean about radio?
There you go.
See what I mean?
And he remembered you quite well, too.
Of course, he's a good guy. I partied with him.
It's just those radio people that are all liars. Don't trust anything you hear.
That's right, man. Hey, I'm standing on the side of the road wearing a scuba suit, giving away crisp $50 bills.
How old would he be? Would you guess?
He's about 45.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, this is Rick Dees in the morning. I just got a crazy call. There's a man on the 5 freeway who's giving away money. I've got a crazy idea. Let's hire him to be our new afternoon disc jockey.
That's great. He's a nobody, and now he's in L.A.
He's the Nasty Man.
Well, that's great. Although you confirmed it, and that's all you need. Because you weren't sure right up until the last second there.
Right, yeah. No, that was him.
What if it had been a guy getting out there going, hi, I'm Mary Mac?
Call him back, will you? Just call him back and tell him I said hi. Tell him we got disconnected or something. Because I got nothing against the guy.
Man, I hate it when you're hypocritical like that.
Watch out, the guy's a friend of mine. I mean, you know,
and he can't hear the show anyway.
Right.
That's the best thing.
That's right.
We wouldn't have done this bit if we were in L.A.
Oh, no, but no, I take it back. See, if we were in L.A., then he wouldn't be my friend anymore.
Right. Oh, that's right. We'd be competing against him.
Right.
Right. He'd be the enemy.
That's right.
We'd have to expose him.
And when we do get on in L.A., just remember, he is the enemy!
No problem, my friend.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.